you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Yes. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you, including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello!
Shut it on down. Do this for you. We're so bad. We know we're good. Blowing your mind like a new people. You know we're just spreading the fun. Spreading our stuff for everyone.
Cut the jibber jabber.
We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl show.
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We didn't come here to look for trouble. Hi, Sweetness.
Yeah, baby.
Speedy Willis, and I'm world class.
When it gets to the part about the punky QB known as McMahon, you know what?
Hey, you know what I'm talking
about? No, what?
I had a scream last night.
I did it the Joe way. You know what? Not you know something.
You know what?
You know what?
Hi, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Right, Mike.
Hi. Don and Mike Show.
Rex Grossman isn't a retard.
Monday. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. You don't hear this often on the radio, do you?
Not at all. I forgot how much I loved it.
Yeah.
Doesn't Fridge play the saxophone?
Mike, it's akin to the production values you would see in a Hall & Oates video.
Exactly.
From like 1985. Very similar to the production values on the song Private Eyes.
Right.
Where they're standing in the corner, one of them just got that big dumb saxophone.
Well, they're in. They're going to the Super Bowl. How about the Bears?
I'm not even rooting for the Bears.
I was rooting for the Saints.
I'm rooting for the other guys, the Colts. Obviously, because I slurred Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last time, the Jack Colts don't have a song.
I'm the punky QB known as McMahon.
They have time.
Right?
They have time. They've got 2 weeks.
Hi, hi. Hey, hey, hey.
What? What?
Excuse me, it's only the most important part of the song, dude.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. That's right, that's the part where Jim McMahon sings.
Can you back that up a little, please, boy?
We must hear it all.
We have to hear it all, and I walked right over that.
My favorite part of the song.
I wasn't paying attention.
I had sunglasses on.
I wasn't paying attention at all.
He's the punky QB known as McMahon.
I forgot you know it by heart.
I love Jim McMahon.
Yes. And he loves you.
Oh, yeah.
He loves you, as was proven personally.
Loves everyone, I think.
One of the greatest stories in the world.
After he played for the Bears. And Buzz and I worked in Chicago
right
when the Bears were winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right those years before that. And big Jim McMahon fan I was, Yoda.
I remember when you came to Washington and we started working together, you were always talking about Jim McMahon. He was like your god.
I love the Packers, but living in Chicago, I was forced to like the Bears, and I love McMahon.
He had that rebel quality you admire so much.
Just fantastic. Ahead of his time, Mike.
Yes.
groundbreaker.
If he played today, he would be the reason that Bill Parcells quit, not T.O.
That's right.
So, anyway, it's many years later, and he's now washed up, and he's playing with San Diego. And I remember I said to Mike, you know, I am so excited. Jim McMahon is coming to play the Redskins this weekend. I'm going to go see the game, right. And I had a field pass, and it was actually on.
I believe our former friend John Riggins got us the field pass.
Yeah, because that was way back in the day.
He's still a friend. I'd like to think of him still as a friend. I just I hear he says bad things about us now that we do impersonate. I don't mean anything by that impersonation, but that's how we used to get. We got a couple of field passes that way one time where he got us down on the field way back when.
Well, then, thank you to him.
I think so.
I hope that ends up being a tenth of a point in the ratings for him, because at this point that would be an astronomical game, like having a 100-yard game if he was to gain a tenth of a point in the ratings.
So you're more than welcome, Mr. Geronimo. Things are on, you really... That's all right. Tell me the story. I interrupted you.
How's the radio show going for you?
Not too hot. Real concerned. The ratings seem to be going down the toilet, and I'm not sure what the ratings is for that. I don't understand why the ratings are going down. It just seems to me, I'm a Hall of Fame running back, number 44. You think if people be feeling good to hear some legend on the radio, but they don't seem to be coming. They're not exactly flocking Timmy and Rose, Mr. Geronimo.
Quite a tweaker. Thank you.
Thank you. You're right. It was former friend John Riggins.
Former friend.
Who gave us these passes. I think I got them both that day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's the point of the story. McMahon doesn't play a lick for the Chargers. He's the backup. And on the field after the game, this was during the era when the Redskins were still somewhat decent. Rippon was the quarterback. Ernest Miner was a running back. A lot of good guys were playing for the team.
That's right.
And I'm out there. The Redskins won. And I walked right up to Jim McMahon. He still had his helmet on with a big visor and his perfect, immaculate jersey, not a speck of dirt on it.
Of course.
And I walked right up and I said, Jim, you don't know me. My name is Don Geronimo. I do the morning show in Chicago for many years. Huge fan of yours. Big fan. God, been waiting all this time just to say, how are you? And he lifted up his helmet just a little bit to look under the visor and really said from the bottom of his heart, F you. Now,
you loved that.
A lesser man would have been destroyed.
Uh-huh.
A lesser man would have said, oh my God.
You would have crumbled on the spot.
One of my idols just told me to F off. No, I wore it as a badge of courage.
You loved it. Well, he gave you a better gift than you would have ever gotten.
Are you kidding?
Thanks a lot and shook your hand. I mean, I remember my jaw unhinging when I heard that story the first time.
End of the game, he didn't play. Here's some fat disc jockey who he doesn't know coming up on the field ready to slurp him.
He was basically in the twilight of his career.
Oh, yeah, way past.
He was winding it down.
He sure was. He made us look young and full of life, Mike. Anyway, it was just so great because he had the tinted visor. I couldn't even see his eyes.
Right.
And he's taller than me. Hell, everybody's taller than me. And I'm looking up look. And then it was just, and real condescending.
Right.
F you. And then just turn to walk away. And I remember just watching number 9, McMahon, walk away and thinking, oh, what a cool guy. Really, what a cool, cool effing guy. And now the best part of this hit song.
I'm the pucky QB known as McMahon. When I hit the turf, I've got no plan. I just throw my body all over the field. I can't dance, but I can throw the pill. I motivate the cats, I like to tease.
The cat.
I play so cool, I aim to please. That's why you all got here on the double, to catch me doing the Super Bowl shuffle. I'm on the port.
Retard.
Who's that? I'm sick on the floor, as I can't beat it. But ain't no. I don't remember everybody from this thing. Buzz?
That's why I felt in that Mike Singletary? I
didn't come here. Samurai Mike? I'm just getting
down to the Super Bowl. He's still coming.
And then there's the jive scene with Walter Payton pretending to play the saxophone. Is it Walter Payton?
I think Bridge played this. Maybe it was Walter Payton. Pretending.
I think if we just did a fast fade on this, no one would really know. So there you go. There's the Bears shuffling crew.
You faded that out.
Shut up, Rob.
Shut up!
Yeah, the amazing thing is...
Shut up.
The funky QB.
Okay, so Bears win. That was not the game, though. My God. Listen, talk about slurping. You know that really I would bend over for Peyton Manning. I'm queer for that guy. You can't tell me that you didn't watch that game last night. And in the second half, you had to, even if you don't know the guy, I don't know the guy, nobody knows him.
Mm-hmm.
None of us know him. You had to feel good for the guy, didn't you?
Especially when he banged his thumb up and all that good stuff. It was the classic comeback story.
You see, imagine that poor second string guy who's never played one lick in his life when they said Peyton Manning is screaming at him, get ready, get ready.
Oh, my God, the fear in that guy.
Sorgi. That's a loser name, S-O-R-G-I. You know, you don't go from Peyton Manning to some guy named Sorgi.
No. I just look at Peyton Manning, and every time I see him, I'm like, why can't Eli be like that? Yeah. That's all. And you see that shot of Eli.
Eli got to watch from the booth.
Eli's like in the back of the booth and reacting the same way he reacted during the entire Giants season. No reaction. Incapable of any sort of emotional response.
And if I hear one more guy, speaking of Eli, I was just going to say something that I'm so sick of and tired of hearing people say.
What?
You know, that monkey is off his back now. He's got that monkey off his back.
Oh, good.
I think that monkey, which was on Archie's back, and it was on Peyton's back. Now he should he should jump on top of Eli Manning's
head. He should live on Eli's head.
Yeah, and, he should
And Tom Coughlin's coming back, so he probably will. It was just fun to watch that game. You know, monkey off the back, whatever. Peyton Manning's a likable guy. Peyton Manning comes across as the classic All-American quarterback, and it was fun to watch that. And then I realized, the only other thought I had watching that game is watching Bill Belichick, I realized, whether they had won or lost the game, you would not have been able to tell with Bill Belichick.
I disagree.
You saw him give some sort of emotional reaction on the sidelines?
I saw at the very end. I bet a lot of people picked up on this. When the Colts had won, when everybody was streaming onto the field, when Belichick was going to find Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning stood there. Now, okay, granted, I went back and watched it again on TiVo, but here's exactly what he did.
Oh, I remember, I saw this.
He had been given one of those dopey championship hats.
Right.
And before he put it on, because he saw Belichick, you know, the homeless guy coming towards him.
Yeah.
And before he didn't put the hat on. So, and I'm thinking he didn't put it on like, hey, I'm not going to shove it in this guy's face that we're the champions.
Right.
But he walked over and extended his hand to Belichick.
And Belichick walked right by him. Did Belichick even shake his hand?
He
didn't even acknowledge him.
He blew him off. My girlfriend and I went, TiVo.
Okay, so I thought it might have really seriously been he was just trying to get the hell out of there.
No, he's being a dick. Hey, listen, take it from someone who's not a gracious loser. But God knows I've not won as much stuff as the homeless Bill Belichick.
They've won plenty, and I'm a New Englander.
If you got one guy who's just been beating his ass every single year, and he finally manages to win one, shake his MasterCard-loving hand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cut that meat.
You know, a lot of people in New England are disappointed because of the Patriots, and then there are a certain group of people in New England that now say, okay, time to focus on the real sport. That's the way we look at it up there. There is seriously a group of Red Sox fans that goes, okay, Patriots are out of the way now. We can focus on the task at hand that the pitchers and catchers report in less than a month.
How exciting, really, to watch.
What a great game.
To watch Peyton Manning.
Best playoff game I've ever seen. It was fantastic.
And towards the end, I did not have the waterworks, but I came very, very close.
Well, you know what? Waterworks? Peyton, with Peyton talking about his dad and all that.
Because Buzz, it was very emotional. And then
he was really respected his father, which was really cool.
And that moment where I almost cracked and became like Mike, a big giant pussy, crying at what I see on TV.
Thank you.
That moment was taken away, and I was slapped back to reality, much the way you would slap a newborn baby and get the same result. When Nance got up there and started screaming about the race card, about the fact that you're going to have two black coaches together.
Oh.
And when I say screaming, I mean, you know, for our friend Jim Nance, just very excited. And
coaches, really, really quite a moment. We're going to have two African-American coaches in the game.
Do you think they brought God into it enough?
Oh, see, a little bit too much.
I mean, come on. I mean, yes, God is great. God is good. And we thank God for our food.
I have nothing against people invoking the name of God. I take a little umbrage with people that really think that God is paying that much attention to them.
God really does not care if the Indianapolis Colts win or lose.
I don't think God really is occupying himself with that.
Well,
that is
when we have servicemen dying every day in Iraq, and famine throughout the world, I really don't think that God gives a rat's ass if the Colts finally beat the Patriots.
They were hitting that overtime.
Hold on, here's the take. Now, here's Nance. There are Buzz, for someone like you, someone either gay or married with cats,
right?
Like you, who doesn't watch TV,
love that show.
Married with cats. It is, and it's a show about Lou. It's a show about Lou's
and
cat.
Double O
and his slacks.
They're up on the stage getting the award, and then here's Nance out of his mind. Listen to Nancy.
Tony Dungy,
Tony Dungy,
Tony Dungy,
Tony Dungy, you're colored. Tony Smith is colored. Colored men. I'm white.
I'm tragically white.
Tony Dungy, you're black.
Tony Dungy, your team today completed the largest comeback
In AFC or NFC championship game history, how did you guys do this? And Tony, on this...
Did we just take his? We just took the response.
I want to focus on Nancy.
Oh, all right, we just
Nancy.
But that's where Dungy said a lot of his good God stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Peyton
did the same thing.
Not that he said good God.
Good God.
Good God.
Tony Dungy, your team today completed the largest comeback in AFC or NFC championship game history. How did you guys do this? And Tony, on this historic day, were you and your friend Lovie Smith become the first African-American coaches to take teams to the Super Bowl? How much does that and this moment mean to you?
I'll tell you what, Jim, as a black man, it pisses me off to hear it from somebody like you. Where am James Brown? Where am Shannon Sharp? Could you get a whiter guy? Seriously.
And what was wrong with Jimmy Irsay? What was wrong with the purple blue lift Jimmy Irsay? The first thing Carla said, because she lives with me, was drinker.
No.
Yeah, and I said, no, that looks like a heart condition.
You do not know the background on the Irsay boy.
No.
On Robert Irsay's son. Way back.
It's Jimmy, right? Jimmy Irsay?
Yeah, little Jimmy Irsay.
A very popular guy up in Baltimore.
L-I-L, little Jimmy. Way back in the day when they first moved to Indianapolis, then the other Irsay croaked and he took the team over.
Right.
He went through this regimen period where he wanted to be buff like the players. And I believe he got into the roids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I believe what
he did not look good.
What you're seeing there is like a guy who's not on roids anymore. But could you tell? Didn't he have that Chris Berman look like? He
oh
was
yeah,
wearing a neck that was like maybe two sizes too small.
Well, I thought he looked just incredibly unhealthy. I mean, it was like looking in the mirror for me. I was looking at the guy, and he had the thing that got me is that he had kind of the bluish hue around the whole center part of his... I'm Hugh Hamilton. He had a bluish color about him, like he was going to go down for the count.
Not good.
But it was a big day for Indianapolis.
It's an incredible day for us, and you know, there's a lot of glory up here, Jim, with this trophy.
Yeah, that's the guy. Hold on one second. Go to the tape for you. Is he Robert Kraft? Drunk Robert Kraft?
Yeah, drunk Robert Kraft, who finally doesn't get one in the win column.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you noticed, but also when Manning, Belichick on the field, after Belichick blew him off, Manning wasn't exactly left there hanging. He gave him a couple pats on the belly. I didn't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, he did. He gave him that little pat on the belly.
It was hilarious to me.
Yeah. Nice. Peyton Manning is so classy. When he put the hat on, and he was running towards Belichick, and he took the hat off,
I thought he didn't want to rub it in.
Just a class move. I mean, he really, I want to see him win the Super Bowl.
And this Belichick, freaking. Cut off sleeves.
I want to see Peyton Manning win the Super Bowl, and I think he is going to win the Super Bowl 100-0. I really do believe they're going to crush the Bears. I believe that.
Boomer in the sweatshirt on the
pregame show. Yes. Oh, hold on. Here's Boomer.
Boomer's a real cut up.
Here is on that show. He is Mike.
Yeah, I know he is.
Here is drunk Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, who incidentally bought the team, 10 years ago, Mike?
Yes, yes.
And nobody's bothered to tell him in the last 10 years.
With his silent partner, Victor Kiam.
Nobody bothered to tell him in the last 10 years that look of a blue shirt with a white collar and the red power tie is so 10 years ago.
At least, yeah.
But he is married to that look.
He loves that look.
Absolutely.
I like that look, but it is 10 years ago.
Here he is after the game.
Well, you know, the NFL is about rivalries, and we're happy that we're part of a rivalry now, and I think you have
a rivalry now.
Rivalry.
A rivalry.
I'll drink to that.
Thank you, Ryan. Two of the best coaches in the NFL, two of the best quarterback
coaches,
and two of the better organizations. And what's good for CBS and our fans, at these rivalries continue to build.
Rivalries.
What you're getting is just a drunk billionaire right now.
Rivalries.
The rivalries is good for CBS. The coaches.
So you stayed deeper with it than I did. I didn't see the craft.
And exists. And I think you're going to get great ratings tonight. Well, you know, the NFL.
Oh, hold on. There's another cut of him, too.
And I like that voice. I really want to say rivalry. Well, you know, the NFL is about rivalries, and we're happy that we're part of a rivalry now, and I think you have two of the best coaches in the NFL.
Hold on a second. We heard that.
heard that. Too much rivalry.
Rivalry. Well, we're lucky to have be associated with a lot of good people. In any business, it's the people you have around you. But when we came into the league in 94, it was a different NFL.
Oh, Mr. Kraft, your breath smells like my grandma's crotch on a hot summer's day, sir.
Oh. Well, what I've done is I've had my tie too closely tied. Tony Dungy, you are black!
Jim, you're crowding me.
It's an NFL that had to be business-oriented with the salary cap era. You need people in your organization that understand the economic value and how to put a team together. And we're lucky to have Coach Belichick, Scott Fioli, and the group of players have that have really done an outstanding job.
You know, that was Kraft before the game.
But that was before.
So you can only imagine how he was after.
Rivalry. As I was enjoying my 14 mimosas before the game, it's been a long day.
Buzz, you missed out on it, and I know this is not likely to tell you. You missed out on American Idol.
No.
Really, this was a game for the ages. This is the newest game of the ages.
I have a confession to make. When it was 20, was it 21-3?
21-6 at halftime.
21-3, I left it and just started hopping around.
Right.
And really, because I said this is not hopping around.
Literally?
Foot,
oh,
no.
Oh.
Like flipping around, and I thank you. Not flipping around, and I was freaked out because I came back and I said, oh my God.
I wish I'd won.
I came back when it was 21-21, and I couldn't believe it was 21-20.
What I would really like to know is what the hell they said at halftime, because I know that they went down the field before the end of the first half and they got that field goal, but they came out in the second half and man, it was like an 80-yard drive, then it was another 80-yard drive, then it was a 76-yard drive, then it was another 70-yard drive.
I mean, really, it blew me away. And then, of course, the fourth quarter was one of the greatest quarters in the history of playoff football.
And golly, aren't his commercials swell?
Finally saw the caveman one with the cocktail party. Finally, I saw that commercial.
Wait, did you know somebody told me over the weekend that the caveman one with the therapist, that's Talia Shire from the Rocky movies?
Really?
Yeah.
You mean the made-up as the caveman?
No, the one. Have you seen the one where the caveman's talking to a psychologist?
Yes.
Where he says, that's my mom, I'll put her on speaker.
It's really Talia Shire.
But somebody told me, and I watched it this weekend, and I thought, that sure does look like her.
Wasn't she Rocky's girlfriend?
Right.
And wasn't she Jimmy Kahn's sister in The Godfather?
Yes, she was. Yeah. That's right.
Uh-huh.
And wasn't she a piece of ass in all those movies? Talia Shire to me always looked like a snot rag that had just been tossed out of a car.
Well, in fairness to her, she was made to look that way in the Rocky movie.
I've seen her all fixed up like at the Academy Awards, Mike.
Not too strong? No better?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think. I think there's only. I mean, she's relatively fixed up in The Godfather.
Although nobody's as dirty as Drew Barrymore. They ran that commercial yesterday for that new movie with Hugh Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant coming out on Valentine's Day with that. The Sweetest Day. That's a good idea.
They look like they could be brother and sister.
I'm watching that movie, and I'm watching the ads for that movie, and just looking at her, it's just... I can't even say that I would want to even see what she looks like naked anymore.
You know, between her and Hugh Grant, and Hugh Grant's got that whole British thing going for him, that pasty British thing. You put them in the same trailer, I bet it smells like B.O. I think it's inevitable.
She just has that... how do I say this? She looks to me like she just came off a shift at KFC. And it looks to me like probably it would be like you get home and you can't get that smell of KFC off
you. It's her hair. Her hair always looks a little stringy. And, I mean, I know she paints herself up occasionally. I mean, look, in the Charlie's Angels movies, all three of those women, you could not doll women up anymore. And I still didn't like
Drew
Barrymore.
They tried to glamour up a lot.
I still didn't think they did it with her.
Huh. What about in the dumb Adam Sandler movie where she gets amnesia every day?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, 50 First Dates, isn't that what that's called?
Yeah, right.
What
do you think, Simon?
I really, really, really hated that.
Take it easy, big man.
Even he hated it.
What about E.T.?
Yeah.
She was hot in E.T., Rob.
That's what I thought.
Damn sexy.
Smoking.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Mike, do you think that Bob Kraft could do a good Nipsey Russell? He sounds like he could do a pretty good one there.
This is Nipsey Russell. I'd like to say hi to everybody on the whole Patriots family. I'm the new owner of the New England Patriots, Nipsey Russell.
Well, you know, the NFL is about rivalries.
Not even close.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. You're right, not even close. Not even close.
The FC Rasta.
Hello there, Dynamite.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, are you guys going to have the...
Yes,
we are.
Mm-hmm. Very soon.
The
very
Steeler news conference?
Count on it.
Yes, oh, we are going to break in for it, so stay tuned.
I'm sorry?
Yes, we're going to break in for the Steelers news conference.
Good deal. Thank you much.
Okay.
Stay tuned. This might really be one of the longest, outside of momentous occasions. This is the most sports talk we do during the year. I mean, really, kind of because it was such a great story. It was a great game.
Well, how could you not get caught up in that?
It's impossible. If you're a sports fan, I don't care. Even if you're not a big football fan, you watch that game. That was a phenomenal story.
And you had to watch it even after the Colts scored. You had to think, well, there's Tom Terrific.
Oh, 100%. 1 minute
coming
left.
Out to do it one more time, Mr. GQ, Mr. I Screw Models. Look at him. He's cool as the other side of the pillow. Golly gee. Men want to be him and women want to be with him. That's Tom Terrific.
60 seconds left, guys.
Coming out to get it done right now. And look at, hey, there's that big pussy Peyton Manning is afraid to even watch. Did you see that?
I don't blame him.
He was sitting on the sidelines. He would not look, and he was just rubbing his thumb. And sure. I said to my girlfriend at one point, sure. I said, it almost looks like Peyton Manning's working it.
Working his thumb.
Because he was sitting on the sidelines.
And then I sat and really worked it.
It was the most important part of the game. Patriots are coming back, Buzz, with less than a minute left. They're down to the Colts, like, 45-yard line.
Uh-huh.
And Peyton Manning was just looking down, rubbing
furiously. Rubbing. Working that knuckle.
Over the line, Peyton.
Working that knuckle.
Hey, guys, I'm here with Nipsey Russell. Nipsey, you are black!
I'm very happy to be owning the Patriots now. Thank you. I've had 14 mimosas.
You are black?
Yep.
Rex Grossman is smart.
He sure doesn't look like it. He looks like he's challenged.
Hello there, Donaldo E. Miguel.
Hey, buddy. How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Good. I noticed they only played your Wendy's commercial, six or seven times, the whole two games?
The Wendy's, like, where the guy's eating the little French fries?
I disagree. Yeah. It was on more like 6,000 or 7,000 times.
Oh. Horrible ad.
I won't bet to go to the Super Bowl.
And I also figured, I was talking with a buddy over the weekend, why it is that maybe you hadn't heard that stupid John Mellencamp song that's driven me crazy so much.
Right.
Because they had a specific deal with Sunday Night Football on NBC, that they were the main sponsor. So there was like a two-minute montage that they played before every goddamn kickoff this year.
But you gotta like the new Loch Ness Monster commercial that they ran 400 times.
Oh, that's an old one. I see,
it's an old one because I don't watch as much football as you.
Hey, you know the...
So you've watched it all season, right? I saw it for the first time.
Oh, the one where the Toyota gets
where
thrown in.
Where they spit
in
out, and then it spits out the Toyota.
Did you see the new career builder spot?
Which,
with all the monkeys?
No, I did not.
Great new spot that says there says that the Super Bowl, they're evolving.
You know what's funny, because there was one that made me laugh yesterday. It was a subtle commercial, but I've now forgotten it, which means it didn't do its job.
Oh.
It didn't stay burned into my brain because I'm not able to spew it out.
I would never go to careerbuilders.com, but I'm happy to give them a plug, because what they give me during a game is 30 seconds of joy, because the commercial yesterday was simply monkeys in a business room, like always in those commercials, wearing ties, lighting their cigars with $100 bills. They've got the charts that show profits are down, so they just turn the chart upside down.
And I give extra credit to advertisers that use monkeys now, because, I mean, the fact is, we know, it's documented, monkeys
work.
They work, but they're extremely dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, now, you know, that guy that got his face ripped off? You remember that guy that got him in monkeys?
Oh, yeah.
Working with monkeys. We worked with them.
Very powerful.
Didn't know they were this horrible.
Very monkey
powerful.
Kills Steve Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Monkey Ray.
Using a stingray.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, and hold on just 1 second. Bindi, what did you get out of the whole deal, honey?
For the first time ever, I got the head.
Hello, what's up?
Hey, more than that, he may look like Nipsey Russell, but I think he sounds more like Buddy Hackett.
Would you get out of here, please?
Man, I'm not doing Buddy Hackett.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, did you...
How you doing?
Hear that?
Shaboopy.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, did you hear that Bill Parcells retired today?
Yes, we did. Mentioned it.
So, yes.
So does that mean T.O. is going to be coming back?
T.O. is going to be the new coach, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, did you see who was standing next to Eli Manning up in the booth?
Hey, who is mom? Is dad?
Hello.
Yes, who? His mom or his dad?
He says, Eli, I'm flying to wherever he lives.
Who was standing next to Eli in the booth?
Mick Whittington from the Pulsators.
Any idea? Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
Why is that significant to you? And he's gone.
I think he's like the career builder. He's just trying to get a plug-in.
Well, if you want to get a plug-in, just give us some monkeys.
It's not Nick Whittington. It was that guy from American Idol. Wasn't that a Nick, too?
Oh, no. The guy that sang the anthem? Doherty. Chris Doherty.
No. The Nick guy was the horrible guy from American
Chris
Idol.
Chris Daughtry. I always get that wrong.
Nick Sitzman. Oh. Thank you, Rob. It's
but not... Rob Daughtry sang the anthem. Yeah.
Chris Daughtry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? What did I call him?
Rob Daughtry.
Oh, I was thinking of Roger Daltrey.
Daltrey, which it sounds like.
Like the worst compliment I could give that guy because he's not anything near Rob. But he did have the tears coming down the eyes, you know, right on time. And he also had some weird interpretations of words during the national anthem. I didn't know if he was screwing it up or if he was trying to be artistic.
I heard the anthem that was sung. Is it Indianapolis? The soul artist that was singing that?
Yolanda Adams.
And it was one mistake. I'm trying to think. Oh, sorry. Can you sing Mother Dance earlier?
Robin, what was the mistake?
That's why my thoughts
came. The mistake was before it even began. She had a false start.
What is it about her?
She's very different.
That's what I was thinking. She's different. Yolanda Adams is different than us, Mike.
It was a two instead of
hello?
Gave proof.
Don and Mike show.
Through the night was to the night.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
That was the mistake. Sorry.
Howdy, hi.
Hey, when the Saints game first came on, I was watching, and the Saints coach, he had the black thing around his head and the big puffy black jacket, and the first thing that came to mind was Zoolander.
He does have a little Ben Stiller in him. that coach, Sean Payton, that coach of the
Saints. He's got to lose some weight and get a little more buff if he wants to be Ben Stillerish.
Just a little Stillerish in his face.
A little in the face. In the face.
Like googly. You're googly.
Just in the face.
He really does. He I like that look. I like that parka. I'd like to get one of those Saints parkas.
There was one other. You were just down in New Orleans, for goodness sake.
They didn't have parkas down there. It was 75 degrees when I was down there.
One other thing from this football weekend. Everybody wanted the Saints to win, but they didn't win. So
And it was, I mean, really, all of a sudden that game was not a game anymore. I mean, it happened so quickly. I really thought that Drew Brees was going to bring him back. And, they never got traction.
I'm glad you mentioned Drew Brees. He did that show on HBO, the NFL show.
Right. Inside the NFL?
Yeah, right. And they aired it again last night after the games were over. And here's what bad for HBO. Here's what Drew Brees said. Now, they run this after the game has already been played on HBO, just because they're HBO and they got space to film.
Right.
Okay, so here he is, Drew Brees.
So are you the kind of guy who believes in the destiny thing, who believes in fate that so many people...
That's the guy asking the question, Peter King.
It's been preordained. You guys are going to the Super Bowl.
I am. I believe in fate, destiny, karma. I believe God has a plan for all of us. But I also believe that he presents you with opportunities, and then it's your job to take advantage of it.
Right.
We have a great opportunity
here.
He's
out right there.
Yep.
And I think that it would mean so much, not only to us as a football team, but for us to be able to win this for this city, because you know what? They deserve it.
Shut up! You shouldn't have brought the G-Man into it, Drew.
Yeah, probably. That probably jinxed him right there.
You just probably shouldn't have brought it in. The
man upstairs probably going, ha, 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 you're screwed.
Besides, I root for the Mannings.
The Mannings pray more, Drew.
And why is it that we always think God has that big commanding voice?
Why does God have to sound like Santa Claus?
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, it's going to be fun anyway. It's not going to be the Super Bowl it would have been if it was Indy against New Orleans.
It'll be good, Mike. It'll be good. The Bears will be good. They'll suck.
I think it's going to be one of the
great.
You think it's going to be one of those typical blowout Super Bowls?
I
have two touchdowns at the very least.
Just with Sexy Rexy?
But you know what? All the crap that guy's gotten, the guy stood, you know, he did it. He stood up.
There were two things he did yesterday, though, during that game. Not to pick his nits.
Sexy Rexy.
But at one point, right in the heart of the game when they were still in it was like 16-14. Mm-hmm. He's coming up to the line, and even the announcers are saying, well, the Bears are not going to be able to get a playoff here because the clock is running down. Everybody in the whole stadium's watching it go 5-4. He's just standing there calling the play. Yeah. Then they get the thing with the, you know, delay of game.
The and double. Did you see the double timeout too?
Yeah. And you can't.
Was that in the Bears game?
Yes, it was. Yep. That was the other thing that Sexy Rexy did.
Yep.
You can't call two timeouts in a row.
Very lucky not to get penalized there.
Although you really can, because you can do it at the end of the game if you're going to ice a kicker.
Right. That's it.
But you can't.
And icing a kicker, for those that don't know, is that's when you give a kicker time to think about his field goal, make him nervous.
And see, Buzz, why he was Sexy Rexy was so. The dummy is that on this one play in a championship game, everybody in the freaking stadium, the announcers, the fans, everybody knows the play clock is running down.
Time's running
out. He's standing there like a dope going, blue 47!
As the one aware.
Blue 47! So then they get the penalty. Then later, it's like a fourth down situation.
Right.
He comes to the line, timeout. They don't run a play. He comes back to the line again and goes, timeout.
No, you can't.
Then one of the officials says, you can't call two timeouts in a row.
Can't do it, idiot. Come on, learn your rule book.
What a dopey
you
is.
Can't do it. But, you know, quarterbacks more than anybody else, if they screw up, everybody's going to know it. That one play where Tom Brady had the guy absolutely wide open.
Terrific.
And everybody knew it except Tom Brady. Everyone stadium, everybody on the sidelines. And he didn't end up throwing it to him, but he was late. It would have been an automatic touchdown.
How about that,
What's
dude?
What's the deal with the eyes on the guy?
The Bush late? Baby eyes on Rashe Caldwell.
What the hell is the deal? I mean, it's terrifying.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
You are such
the Bush babies. What are you doing?
Does he have the Barbara Bush syndrome? Where the eyes bug out?
This is Rashe Caldwell. He played for San Diego.
Really just like painful to look at. It looked horrible.
Feldman eyes.
Yes, it looked like his eyes hurt.
They are. He does. He should be on American Idol. His eyes were bigger than that kid on American Idol.
And when I first saw him, I said, is he just completely freaked out, nervous? No.
Every game.
That's the way he looks. It was terrifying. It really, he looked like one of those guys. There are those people that can actually take their eyes and pop them out of their head.
Right.
You know, he looked like one of those guys.
Michael Wilbon. Hey, Tom, terrific. Needs some better receivers. Tom, terrific. Needs a better supporting cast.
Hey, well, you're right
guys,
about that.
Guys, when your number one choice is a guy with Bush baby eyes, you got to get some better wide out there. Tom, terrific. Can't do it by himself, guys.
Hey, thank you, Simon.
Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
Shut up.
Thank you very much, Simon.
I don't know. I wasn't being Simon. I was being myself, Mike.
Oh, okay. I was doing one of my incredible impressions.
I was I was just talking to you about Jive DJ. Well, hey, guys, Tom Terrific.
I thought it was Nancy.
It's kind of Nancy.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of.
Boy, fans look uncomfortable in this dome, guys.
Kind of, Rob. It's warm.
He did get that in there. It is absolutely brutal in here. You would think with a dome stadium, one of the greatest controlled environments in the world,
right.
Where you know it's, 75 maybe, right? It is brutal on this field. They didn't even look like, they weren't even sweating.
Because, that's what the Colts did. They went before the game and said, you know what? Turn the heat up like to 85.
Right.
That's going to win the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do it for us. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, might have done the Saints well if they practiced outside all week as opposed to indoors. I think they were really a little overwhelmed by the cold. It's just some nasty cold. You can see their breath.
Cool.
And then here in Indianapolis, it says we're in a sauna. This is a greenhouse. Nasty stuff, guys.
Tony Dungy!
Really tough.
Tony Dungy!
You are black! Okay, well, that is our official football recap.
Yes, very good. I enjoyed that.
All right, Buzz?
Yes.
Who do you like in the big game?
Let's see. I think probably the Bears. I have to go with the Bears. My old favorite. Are we picking our games right now?
No, I just want Buzz. I was amazed.
Just to see if he actually knew who was playing?
He knew the two teams.
Mm-hmm. Because I lived there, because I watched them and rooted for them in 85, I'll do so again. Who do you like in the World Series of Poker this week? No, I'm kidding.
We got a break. Do you have an answer for that?
No, I have no idea. I don't even know those guys. That guy Gold, who won the whole thing in 2006. They just repeat that on ESPN over and over and over again. And he's a movie producer who won the whole thing.
Huh.
Which
guys
suck.
They're all big loads. All those guys on those.
Yeah, but this guy was rich to start with, so he's the last guy you want to see win anything. I mean, he's one of these movie producers, and he won $14 million.
You're like, those big loads are guys who really hit the lucky stick even more than we did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at least we can do something with our mouths. We don't have to do anything physically. These guys don't do anything. These guys are bigger and fatter and smellier than us. And they just sit there and just look at cards, and they're on TV, and screw them.
I always look at the World Series of Poker.
There's no pretty people on the poker shows, right?
I wonder what the room must smell like. Because you see some of those guys where hygiene isn't job. It's not even job three.
Oh, yeah.
It's job four or five.
I wondered about the hygiene on celebrity poker shows.
Yes.
You know, when they've been sitting there, these B-list celebrities have been sitting in some hot lounge with the hot lights for like 5 hours.
Even Jennifer Tilly. Maybe her Tilly is pretty nasty. Jennifer's Tilly is
her vagine Tilly.
Her
yeah,
vagine
oh,
Tilly.
Her vagine Tilly. Oh, absolutely.
I have a pair of Aces.
Oh God, shower up, please.
You. That is probably what Bill Belichick's breath smelled like last night. Jennifer Tilly's vagine.
Vagine. Let's just think about that. Let's think about that for a second. Jennifer's vagine.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Michael.
Yes.
From your favorite movie.
You know something, Junior?
Name the movie.
That is Fatso.
We finally have got more than just did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut.
Oh. There's so much to offer in that film.
Here we go.
You know something, Junior?
What?
You don't know how to run your plate. You're 32 years old. You don't know how to run your plate. The omelet is supposed to come out even with the bread.
Tony, I don't want all that bread. You made me too much bread. You always make me too much bread.
And you don't even dip your bread. I made the omelet nice and soft in the middle so you could dip your bread.
Get out of my eggs.
A little bit of hot pepper on it.
You start putting hot pepper on my eggs?
You don't even butter your bread.
Junior's going to get mad at him, really what? Mad.
No jelly? Here. This nice jelly Antoinette made.
Going to go off.
Apricot and pineapple. Oh, nice. Here.
I told you, I don't want that much bread. Don't you understand? Yeah. I've been telling you that for 100 years. You love bread. I don't love bread. I like bread. Do you understand? I got to watch my weight. Did you learn anything from Salvatore? 39 the man was. 39 years old, and he's dead, 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 Dom. And that killed him.
The Don and Mike
well.
Show.
Bravo. There you go.
Fatso.
This is not what you signed up for. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right.
Did you ever?
You ever suck the jelly?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got disconnected earlier. I wanted to make a comment about Bill Belichick.
That's twice in a row now. God damn the luck on that. Oh, featured in that Fatso clip, Rob wrote it out with the late Ron Carey, which doesn't mean anything to me. But
that's the actor that plays Dom DeLuise's brother in Fatso.
I realize that, but I know who it is, but it's like, eh. But now that made me think of who's the guy from Barney Miller that just...
That's the same guy.
Same guy. Ron Carey.
Yeah. Same guy.
Ron Carey. Like
Levitt.
Right. Hold on.
Which guy from Barney Miller just
the
died?
The chubby guy, Levitt.
I thought it was the black guy.
No.
That's a different Ron Glass. That's
where I was screwed up, Ron.
But Ron Carey was also on Barney Miller.
You, Rob, by the first
But Ron Carey's no longer with us either, right? Oh, Ron Carey died this weekend?
So I was right. I was just thinking it was the black guy from Barney Miller, but it was the little guy.
Yeah, he always wanted to make captain.
Oh, I didn't know he passed away. That didn't get a lot of splash.
No.
Do you know what I forgot to tell you about when we were talking about the playoff games?
What's that?
The commercial. The most disturbing commercial I have ever seen in my life. I am never, ever going to buy Orville Redenbacher popcorn again. Ever as long as they have turned him into a monster.
Thank you.
This Crypt Keeper.
Is this horrifying
thing that they created to sell popcorn? What are they thinking?
It is a CGI Orville Redenbacher, but it is the worst.
It's horrible.
Done CGI.
It's masters of horror.
It's scary.
It is terrifying, and they put an iPod on him to make him look human, and it's just nasty.
God, I'm glad you brought that up, because
it's like War of the Worlds.
The first time I saw it, I thought they were using Forrest Gump-type stuff, where they superimposing the old Orville Redenbacher commercials.
You see his, thin-skinned blue hands that are reaching into the microwave, and it's just... Oh, it's disgusting. It's a good call. And they, you know, they make him bounce up and down. It's like, really, it looks like the head's going to pop off the body.
Someone should really do a search on that so Buzz can see this thing.
I think it's so bad it's going to have a backlash effect.
It makes Orville Redenbach. It looks like what they did was they dug him up.
Yeah.
And they put some paint on him, really.
Yes.
And they said, okay.
And they like put wires in the back of his head and somebody's actually pulling the mouth open.
Now, quick, like we gave it to Bernie's. Give him an iPod.
Absolutely horrifying. Wow. And the more I looked at it, the more horrified I got. It was nasty.
They were so proud of it. They had a press conference last week.
Right.
No longer are we limited by life. Now Orville can be our spokesman forever.
Yeah, right? Well, that just goes to show you what they do.
P.U.
Oh, man, it's like the Crypt Keeper.
P.U.
I'm not buying that popcorn anymore.
Well, like you bought Orville Redenbacher anyway.
Well, I didn't give it a lot of
thought. Maybe back in the day you did, right?
Yeah, probably in the day. But, I mean, you always thought, hey, the sweet old man. And then, you know, it's like Colonel Sanders. You have just his picture. You don't try to bring him back to the grave.
I don't think either one of those guys are sweet old men.
No, they were both evil, probably.
And have you noticed now they've given Colonel Sanders an apron?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And what's underneath that apron? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
And it's just
a little silhouette of Colonel Sanders in the corner of the KFC commercial.
Yeah, but this with Orville Redenbacher, they turned it completely over to the CGI guys and they made a mistake.
He looked almost as bad as Hillary Clinton on the internet.
But if you want to know anything about Orville Redenbacher look like, check out Hillary's thing.
Okay.
I especially love the fact that they were saying about Hillary. And a lot of work went into that internet thing where she says she's going to run for president.
You mean like face work, like troweling on the foundation makeup?
No, I read a big thing saying that they made her look as absolutely, now you don't want to look over the top sexy.
Too perfect.
Running for president.
Right.
But they wanted her to look attractive.
Right.
They wanted her to look softer.
Did she have a pantsuit?
No, Mike, as a matter of fact, she was bottomless. She was doing a Sharon Stone.
That's fantastic.
That's what's so interesting about it.
Wow, I wish I'd watched it.
Yeah. And it smelled like Tilly's.
Jennifer Tilly.
Weekend at Tilly's.
Jennifer Tilly after a six-hour round in the World Series of Poker.
I remember.
Poker?
I remember over the weekend seeing that on TV, and I'm like, I'm going to go to the web and check that out.
Right.
Because they were saying how fantastic she looks. And I looked on the web, and I thought, if this is the best that she can look, I don't know. Well, you got that there? Oh, here she is.
Therefore, I decided that I would contest for the primary, and I'm looking forward to...
You can't fix that voice, though, can you?
That voice is going to be responsible for her not winning.
So pleasant.
I announced today that I'm forming a presidential exploratory committee. I'm not just starting a campaign, though. I'm beginning a conversation.
I am Orville Redenbacher.
Doesn't, to every married guy out there, doesn't this sound like you just got home? Seriously, this is what it could be like. Any married guy. You've been out there slaying the dragon all goddamn day. You come home, all you want to do is put your bag down,
unwind,
sit down,
relax,
take off for a couple seconds, you go, hey, what's happening? How are you doing?
I announced today that I'm forming a presidential exploratory committee.
That's interesting.
I'm not just starting a campaign, though.
Did I tell you that I had a day at work today?
With you.
Yeah.
With America.
Yeah, I know.
Because we all need to be part of the discussion.
Honey?
If we're all going to be part of the solution.
Mike had the sweater on today.
Have to be part of the solution.
Mike needs this lip roller for his sweater.
Yeah, the war in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And to restore respect for
I'm listening to you. What?
The world. How to make us energy.
Of course what you say is important.
Free of foreign oil.
Yes, yes, what?
Deficits that threaten Social Security.
See, it really doesn't matter what she's saying. She has that tone.
Definitely talk.
She has that.
Every American can have quality, affordable health care.
Do we have any of her when she's outside, when she's at the, like she did a speech at a, some sort of senior center or one of these kids centers, and then she did a speech down at Ground Zero where she's her outdoor voice, where she uses her outdoor voice that is even more painful, where she's kind of talking like that.
Nope.
Sounds just like Nipsey Russell.
We got stuff from the web. Oh, two quick things from the weekend.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, first, everything, all of my worrying about the baby shower and my girlfriend and the thing about my niece.
Yes.
Turned out it's a good thing that I at least hipped Janet to what was happening.
A little preemptive strike.
What had happened, because it did come up in playful conversation.
Okay.
In playful conversation.
Well, did it come up because you had brought it up on the air? Sometimes that happens, too.
I think so.
Okay.
But it might have slipped out anyway, so what the hell?
Yeah.
It's out there, and congratulations to Beth and Chris on the baby. So we did that. That was good with the family, and we got back home, and Janet, who's been living with me for a couple months now, said, hey, I talked to the people next door. And right away, I was like, hey, why'd you do that? Because that's just my way. Like, why would you talk to anybody?
Right.
She said something about whether something was hanging over the edge of their house.
So she got out?
I'll fix that, Mike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have gotten out.
You know,
how did that work?
And people have said, Bill O'Reilly said that if he was my girlfriend and I wouldn't let him out of the house,
right.
Why, little Bill O'Reilly would not have put up with that, like with that kid in St. Louis, Mike.
I thought you told her that if she talked to the neighbors, they were going to kill her.
That's right. That's right. You talk to the neighbors, I'm going to kill your mom and dad. Is that right, little Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, go on. It's a no spin zone.
So what she says to me, I talked to the neighbors. I said, okay. She said, I thought you said the guy who lived next door is named Ed. I said, he is. He's the rock of the earth. He's the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Guy's an angel over there. Yeah. Help out with anything. She said, the guy that lives in that house is not named Ed. And I said, you're asking me. And she said, no, I actually met the woman of the house, the lady, and said, where's Ed? And she said, oh, Ed's the guy who lived here before. So, as far as we can tell, with my reclusive Howard Hughes-like lifestyle, apparently, I was talking to one of the neighbors today.
Have you missed something?
Yeah, he moved away 3 months ago.
Oh. Really?
He moved away.
This is the Army guy.
Yeah, the retired Army guy. He moved down to South Florida.
And she's the woman's living in the house alone?
Oh, no, I guess she's got a husband. There's a whole new family living next door to me, and I had no idea.
You mean a whole new family moved in with his wife, or did Ed...
No, Ed...
Ed's gone.
Ed is gone now. I remember
Ed and his family are gone.
I said to... And I don't want to get into...
So they just moved.
This gets the whole neighborhood phone tree thing going when I talk about my neighborhood on the air.
Right.
But what happened was that I mentioned that to one of my neighbors, and my neighbor said, well, gosh, the for sale sign was in front of their house like for maybe 2 months. I said, wow. I never noticed the for sale sign.
Right.
I said, yeah. I said, where'd he go? Florida.
Gone.
Really? I said, how long ago? Gee, I don't know. Maybe September or October.
Wow.
A lot of goats. meanwhile, when Janet moved in, I said, now listen, there are two neighbors you have to know. There's the one very nice lady up the street, Cecily. I said, but your main go-to guy is right next door, Big Ed. He's the can-do guy.
Now you have to go all the way to Florida.
Now I gotta meet the new people next door, and you know how I am
old,
about that.
Old, young, in between?
No idea.
Don't know.
I mean, all I know is...
Well, did Janet give you any kind of report as to the age or anything?
She said about that, like, maybe recently retired age.
Okay, all right.
Recently retired, but... for goodness sakes, where's my security blanket?
Where's
the guy who's going to help when my dog comes out of the woods with half of a deer carcass in his mouth? Where's the guy who's going to help me the next time that the water's coming out of the basement?
Wasn't he kind of like the home improvement guy that you never see?
Yeah.
The guy on the other side of the fence.
Right? Howdy, neighbor. Anyway, see ya. See ya, Ed.
Wow. Oh, shame. There was no going away party, I guess.
Didn't say goodbye.
There was, Mike.
You weren't invited to it?
I was.
You just never got around to it.
No, as it turns out, I was, and it was one of those flyers that I threw away. My neighborhood does a lot of that. Flyers. We're having a 4th of July party. We're having a Christmas party. We're having a Michael Mara has bought an orange sweater party. We're having a Buzz likes the Chicago Bears party. I mean, you know, I get that stuff, and it's just instinctive. I look at it, as soon as I see that font on top that says it's a neighborhood thing.
You move on.
I crush it and move on. And I missed out on the opportunity with Big Ed. So,
well, that's sad.
You know, adios, Big Ed.
Well, maybe someday you can catch up.
Godspeed, Big Ed. And now the people next door who I really do not know. And I said to Janet, I said, here's what's weird. For the last, like, I guess, these people have been living next door to me for almost 4 months. I've waved at them as if they were
Ed's people.
Ed and Alice. No, I mean,
Have you waved at them thinking they were Ed and Alice, or have you waved at them thinking they might be guests?
No,
or?
I waved thinking they were them. See, Mike, the thing is that the house next door to me is not exactly, like, I don't look out my window like you're with the high rise next door. There's
a little space between houses.
But still, as I would drive to work or come down the street, I would always, you know, give a little, one of those, you know, beep beep things. Give one of those, and I would give the wave.
Well, maybe this will be a whole new opportunity for you. You never know.
See, here's the thing. There's never going to be. I was telling this to my neighbor today. You know the way that I am.
Yeah.
I'm antisocial as can be. It's just I'm shy and I'm an introvert. And
yeah, but occasionally, even with your antisocial behavior,
but,
you know, something happens where there's a click or something.
Right.
And you
lived,
had that with that British guy.
I've lived on the same street for 14 years, and I won't really, with no offense to any of my neighbors now, who probably are not listening, y'all are just worthless. The neighbors. No, I don't mean that. I mean that only in the nicest possible
way. Of course.
I mean that the.
You mean you're not up to, you know,
socializing,
right?
And they're not with me either. But I did have a nice bond with Ed. Oh, and you mentioned the Brit.
Right.
I forgot to tell you this over the holidays. Guess who came back to America
for good?
No, just for a visit.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guess who's on the market?
Oh, you mean they split up?
Oh, they're not together. Yeah, I'm sad to hear that because they're good friends.
Right.
I know that they've been going through some problems, but she is available. Talk about wrong place, wrong time, because, you know,
yeah.
God knows.
Yeah.
All those years, she secretly wanted me, my British neighbor, Sarah.
Of course. Oh, I remember you used to talk about her. Is she back in the States also?
No, she's living over in England now. She came over for a brief visit to see some friends, and she brought her new boyfriend.
Bummer.
Who appears to be, when I first met him, this was over the holiday, I said to him, you could be a bad guy on 24.
Oh, really?
Because he,
she brought Fayed with her?
He's Peruvian.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Although he speaks like this.
Oh, I understand.
It's one of those things.
There we are.
So they came over and we had some drinks and we talked about what happened in the past and where we were going, and the whole time I'm looking at her, I'm going like, man, I know how I got here, but boy, how the hell did you get here? You know, looking at her over there with the
younger boyfriend, older boyfriend.
Well, oh, younger Mike. Younger.
A rebound thing, you think?
Hello. Oh, a younger thing. Well, she's just my British neighbor Sarah is just about as hot as Mike's orange sweater. So I'm not surprised that she got herself.
I just bought it today, my orange sweater. I bought a bunch of them.
I'm not surprised she got herself a nice young man.
40% off. Oh, very nice. Orange sherbet colored, really.
Yeah.
I bought, but the other colors are, I bought three other ones.
Oh, they're very nice.
I was like Dudley Moore and Arthur. You know, I'll have to take 20 of 14 of those sweaters.
Sure.
But the difference is I'll wear them every day this week.
Okay.
And they were the only, how much do you think I paid for the, now please give me a legitimate answer.
How much you paid for that sweater?
Yeah.
$30.
I'm going to say $14.
Would you look at me in that sort of voice?
Did you say $14? All right, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
How much did you pay for it?
$29. I thought I got a really great deal on it.
But I said $30.
It was $69, marked down to $49, then another 40% off.
That's always a ripoff.
That's why I bought it.
Everything's a ripoff.
That's true.
It's not a real sweater. It's more like a fleece, but it's kind of a dressy fleece.
You know, on some level, that cost the company to made it really like 49 cents.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all markup.
I hate sweaters, but these I love.
What they did is finally bring the price down to what the price should have been in the first place.
Okay. Well, I'm real happy with the price.
Yeah.
I thought I got this steal.
Did.
And then he got it on the first guess. Just looking at it. And it looks
like a $30 sweater.
Well, then I guess I bought the right thing. Won't be wearing this to the White House anytime soon. You can count on that.
Oh, that's a nice orange sweater, Mike.
No, every now and then I was just farting around the mall today, and, I just decided, I saw this thing, and it's like, man, these really, my mommy actually bought me one for Christmas.
Oh.
And I liked them, and then I saw them in this store, and they were marked down, so I was very, very pleased.
Yeah, your mom bought you
my mom bought me an XL.
A
sweater.
Just a sweater. I mean, but
right.
You have lots of sweaters, though.
No, I don't have that many sweaters because I hate them. I don't wear them, and I can't stand wearing them. I wear those little golf pullovers all the time.
Sure.
This is like bridges the gap between, I don't know why I'm talking about this, a golf pullover and a sweater.
Because you're proud you're wearing a $30 sweater.
I'm proud that I'm wearing a large instead of an extra large.
Hey,
that's another thing.
There you go.
Because mommy bought me an XL that was way too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy to be wearing a large instead of it. Anytime I can wear a large instead of an XL, I'm happy.
Nice.
Well, if you want to see handsome, as far as clothing goes, look no further than the other side of the room.
He is resplendent today.
Today, if I do not look like something that came out of Vincent Bardi's colon after he died,
this seriously looks like in the off season when the Packers had their basketball game. This is their warm up suit that they wear.
Wow. This thing I got on today, I put it on before I came into work. I look at myself in the mirror and I thought, you know what? Really, there are work clothes,
right?
There are friend clothes, and then there are just if you're going to just be at home by yourself clothes,
right?
Really, the more I think about this outfit I have on today, this is really more just me at home by my friend's clothes.
Yeah, but, you know, you look, it looks like a regular sweat outfit that you would have, but it's totally matching, and you've got the pants, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's so queer. It's a yellow...
Is that a Christmas present?
Yeah.
Green
and
gold.
It's like a rain... You feel that material?
Yeah, it's a nylon. Yeah. Right.
Nylon polyester, my motto. Uh-huh. It's a nice green... green and gold thing, but the top is very gold and the pants are very green again.
Yes. Packers have more crap than anybody else.
More merchandise? Yes.
Look at all.
He is wearing Packers.
Very nice. Packers. He's modeling now.
He's got Packers socks on, Packers sneakers, the NFL logo on his Packer green and gold that matches Packer top right there, and a Packer t-shirt underneath.
Right.
Now, everything we can see, everything we've seen is
if they sold if they sold Packer underpants, I'd wear them.
You're telling me they don't? I'm surprised because like
I'm sure they
did.
I live at PackersProShop.com.
Okay.
Well, maybe boxers.
All right,
but I'm not, a, boxer man.
Does right. anybody have any of the merchandising that they have? Why do they have so much more than
America's
any other
most
team?
Beloved team, Mike. Because their fans are the biggest freaking saps in the world.
Well, the Red Sox ought to take a clue from
I
the
got
Packers.
A burlap sap, put a green G on it, sell it for $100 to schmucks like me.
You certainly have coordinated today.
This is no $30 sweater, I'll tell you that. For goodness sakes.
It all comes together.
How much did your shirt cost, Buzz?
This one, it was a gift a couple of years ago, I think. I don't know what it cost.
I'm going to guess that was probably...
This was...
$9.
Is that a medium?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
This was probably $30.
I think it's a $9 shirt.
I'll say it's a I'll say it's a $40 sweater. It looks expensive to me.
Looks cheap to me.
I think it is, but you have no idea.
No, I don't. It was a gift.
Do you have a manufacturer on there?
I don't know. Let me check.
The tag would be in the back, Buzz.
No, and there's also a tag on the front. Yeah.
But on girl sweaters, there's a tag on the front.
I can't.
He's wearing... Well, it's nice to see him out of his extra petite.
But he's wearing...
No, I always wear mediums. Everything I wear is a medium.
Everything you wear is a medium. All right.
Except those that are smalls.
No, pretty much medium.
No, Buzz, the way Buzz will buy a cotton sweater as a medium, he will take it home, he will wash it in an extra hot cycle.
Wash it again.
I will tell you something about Buzz. When we come back, we'll pick this up with Buzz. He went to a party this weekend.
Oh, good.
Always a good start of a Buzz story when it goes to a party.
Sure. Yep.
Just before the show, I met the most amazing, incredible man this weekend.
Well,
at
really?
This party that
interesting.
He went
to. It was fun.
Oh, no, you said amazing, incredible.
Well, was not amazing per se.
He said he had met his soulmate this weekend.
What he really? Showed me was amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey. Okay, listen to this.
Oh, that's a tease.
This guy that Buzz met is a bigger Letterman fan than Buzz is. And he used to be at NBC Page.
Oh, wow.
And he's got all this stuff from the Letterman show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all necessarily real good stuff. Like Buzz said that, like, he had some blue index cards.
Wait, you some
from
of,
Dave?
Some of the famous blue
from
cards.
From the show.
From the NBC late night days that he used to throw through the window. Sure.
Yeah, but now, here's the thing. How would you know the difference between one of those and one of these?
Yeah, you're right.
An index card's an index card, but there was more than that, right?
You're still going on that motto that we both share, trust no one.
DNA testing, that's how I know.
What else do they have besides that you like? What were you telling me? Did he also swipe some of the little trees from that montage behind Letterman's desk?
No, one little tree. One of the little trees from the miniatures behind the desk.
The set of New York, you mean?
Right, uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Right, presumably from Central Park, I guess, because he was there at the very end when they took down the set and struck the studio.
That's relatively short time ago.
So you got to go through all the stuff.
I got to see his collection of memorabilia.
What's the best thing he had?
My favorite thing was, do you remember the blue double doors off to the right where people used to run in and out, staff members?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, they had a red sign on the door with white lettering that said, keep this door closed. I held that sign in my hands. Yes, I did.
He made out of both ends.
I did.
That is too funny.
One of Dave's cigars?
Oh, really?
See, now, Mike, see, this is where it gets a little weird, because the Buzz said that to me, too. He said, one of his cigars?
Wow. Oh, my. You must have gone out of your mind.
So if you think I'm a stalker. Yeah, no, it was very exciting to see this stuff.
What stuff did they... He gave you some of his leave-ins, right?
He had some extra, like, postcards, tickets, standby tickets to the old show, late night on NBC.
Did he? And I bet he had some stories, too.
Yeah,
huh?
He did, as a matter of fact.
So you just go home and make love to those ticket stubs?
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Did he have any incredible Letterman stories?
No. I mean, because being a page, you don't get all that inside.
Yeah, you don't get that access.
Sort of peripheral.
Right.
Yeah.
What about that picture you told me about behind his desk?
Oh, my friend even has a photograph. He's not my friend. Even has a photograph that was taken from behind Dave's desk so that all you see on the desk, you see the microphone and the coffee cup, and behind it, the empty audience seats.
Well, that's cool.
Kind of a cool perspective. Very cool photograph.
That's very cool. He's your favorite television personality.
Always has been, yes.
Wow.
So that's Buzz's weekend.
You had a 10 weekend then.
Yeah, I would say so.
He finally met the guy. He met the guy with the stuff.
Man, and when did the orgy start after that?
Immediately.
Wow. And it was all guys this time.
Yeah.
Letterman fan club.
What are the odds?
This time.
Dave's nude fan club.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here's part one of the governor of California talking about that proposed ban on spanking kids.
We can discipline the kids and we can really make the kids grow up to be good citizens and to be good kids without hitting them.
Okay. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Let's see. Now here's the second part of the press conference.
Shut up!
Where's the third part of that press conference?
We can discipline the kids and we can really make the kids grow up to be good citizens.
That's the first part. Yeah. And then you played the second part.
And he goes on to say,
come on, stop whining. Kids are soft. You lack discipline. But I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me. You're not going to have your mommy's arm behind you anymore. Might be little douches. Oh, no. It's time now to turn this mush into muscles. No more complaining. No more Mr. Kimble to go to the bathroom. Nothing. There is no bathroom.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Now we're going to do something extremely fun. We're going to play a wonderful game called Who is My Daddy and What Does He Do? Yes?
Is your daddy a fireman? He's probably big. Is he a wrestler? Is he a basketball coach?
No. Oh, I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
They wear corrective shoes on their brain. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, we do.
Kind of a mixed signal from the governor of California there.
I once again have to give credit to really the best producer we've ever had in the history of this show. My son. We call him myself. He gives me lots of good material for the show.
Oh, that's good.
Mike here. He'll be 22 in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Call me about, a dick in a box.
I mean, that was good.
Hips need to a lot of stuff.
Right.
This weekend, hey, howdy, bud, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bart. So my son calls me up. Uh-huh. In the middle of, you know, well, we have a really good father-son thing going. We always have, and especially during football season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like during the games, with phones back and forth, you know how that is with your dad.
Sure.
And at one point yesterday, he calls and he says, Dad, are you by the computer? And I said, sure. And he said, try to find this picture. He said, have you seen the trailer for The Fantastic Four?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. What are you talking about? And he said, there's a scene. Well, Bart, tell everybody what it is that you found, because we got it here, too.
I got it from the site online called Ain't It Cool News.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, if you go by frame through their trailer, at one point, Silver Surfer, he's in the new movie, is flying directly towards the camera. And if you look at the frame, you can see a clearly defined package on the Silver Surfer.
And so Bart calls with this.
So he's wearing one of those skin-tight outfits?
Well, take a look, Mike. There's the... they almost got to turn it upside down to see his nuts.
In fact, you want to.
And his big hose.
I'm trying to decipher this right now.
Okay. Can I see it, though?
Oh, there's the car.
Okay, you see the Silver Surfer on his
Oh, and he appears to be
surfboard.
He appears to be extremely happy.
Really? Gotcha.
Very, gotcha. Very happy.
So, Rob, we can post that on our website,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
All right, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Wow. Thank you, Junior Producer Bart.
You're welcome, Bob.
All right, talk to you later. Love you, bud.
Okay, peace.
See you. Bye-bye.
I wonder if that movie's going to get a different rating.
So,
wow,
that,
that's scary.
I'm in the middle of a million different things. I'm like, oh, it's my son. Hold, just give me a moment.
Right.
Yes, hello, son. I had to hang up the phone. What did he want? Well, I want to tell me that you can see the Silver Surfer's balls. You go frame by frame in the new Fantastic Four trailer. So we'll have that up on our website. God, everybody loves a good listen. They got a good website, too.
Sure.
Mike, how's your deafness?
What?
Okay, Rob, go to this website.
All right.
Before we get to the list of the best TV hosts of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Of all time.
Right.
There is a website that is going to be good for Mike, but is going to be painful for everyone else to listen to.
Okay.
It is an online deafness checkup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have done this on the air before. We had a real doctor come in one time.
My doctor.
And give us the test. You know, you hear the beep, and you put your hand up in the air, and the beep gets fainter and fainter. It goes left channel, right channel, left ear, right ear.
Hearing test.
Anyway, Mike failed. We found out that Mike is
I'm the deafest one on the show.
Mike is virtually
by leaps and bounds.
Right. So if you go to the site, God, JimmyR.com.
Okay.
JimmyR.com is where you'll find this. It's a hearing test. Go ahead.
Start with like a low frequency.
This would be for Mike. Here's a low frequency. 20. That's 20 kilohertz.
20 hertz.
I'm sorry. 20 hertz.
Low rum. Am I supposed to hear something?
Tell us when you hear it.
Oh, now, come on. You heard that, correct?
Yeah, I heard that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give him another one.
All right. This is 50 hertz.
You hear that, Mike?
Barely. No, yes. I can hear that loud and clear.
All right.
The low stuff I'm gonna be able to hear.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right, let's get up to the fundraiser.
Okay, now we're to the high frequencies.
8,000.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Very loud.
I told you this is annoying. Rob was playing with this before the show. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I came in today and I was like, what is broken now?
And I can hear that.
He's playing on his website.
9,000 hertz.
Ouch. I can hear that loud and clear.
Hey, Rob. Go all the way to 14,000.
Yeah. Is this like the shocking game we were playing the other day?
No.
I can hear that.
All right.
Go to 15,000. Now, beyond the click.
I heard the click and not much more.
Nothing else?
But you heard 14? Because I didn't. You didn't hear 14?
Go back to 14.
I hear that.
You hear that?
I hear the click, but I don't hear the tones.
Go to 1,300. 13,000, I'm sorry.
That I hear. I hear that. That's as high as I go.
Okay.
That it does.
Now, hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to crank this thing up all the way. Okay? So, guys, here you go. Okay.
Can you guys look out the window? There's like 30 dogs outside right now.
Okay. Here is 16,000.
I hear the click.
That's all.
Do you hear anything? Do you hear anything besides that?
I hear like a... just a very... oh, so brief.
I heard it.
What do you got now?
You want 17?
Yeah. Go back down to the range where we can hear them. Okay, go to 13,000.
You heard the highest one, Rob?
I did.
Wow.
Here's 13,000.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay, now 14,000.
No.
See, I hear that.
It sounds like a
definite.
That's just noise.
It went down a tone, though. It went from beep.
Well, you're hearing a harmonic or noise. You're not hearing the tone itself.
Are you hearing any harmonics?
I could hear noise.
Do you want to hear the sound of a dog whistle?
Yes.
What frequency is that, Ron?
20,000.
I can't hear that.
I can't hear
that. That's like the other day when we had the shocker thing on that you could actually hear the same.
Well, hold on then. Hold on.
Tone.
Stop for 1 second. If we were to play the frequency that says 22,000, which is even higher than a dog whistle,
it's the top end of a dog
whistle. Somebody with a radio on, would dogs hear it right now?
In theory, yeah. It would depend on how good of a speaker.
Well, radio. Or would anybody be able to hear it like with the audio processing also?
Oh, that's true.
If you are listening to our show right now with a dog in the car, and if you're a guy, be very careful. Don't let her know that you're talking about her.
Baby.
That
way.
That's right.
But if you have an actual animal in the car, now let me rephrase that. If you have a dog with four paws and a tail, turn the radio up in 3, 2, 1.
We can't hear it, but the dog should be able to hear that.
Your dog should have just crapped all over your car.
Now, we just played that. Now what I want you to do is ask your dog if he heard it or she heard it.
Here's the thing, Mike. This is something that's going to be hard to explain. There are monitors that go to the left and right when we speak. They bounce.
Right.
The needles bounce with our voice.
What happens when you play that tone down the line?
The needles max out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't hear it, but the needles go all the way into the red, meaning we're really pushing it.
What's the highest one you have?
22,000.
Have you done that one yet?
22,000 is the top end of a dog whistle.
Do it.
All right.
Push it, boy.
Right.
3, 2, 1. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
That's worse than the bomb.
Oh, no.
It's worse than the dog call.
Oh, my God.
Back to some of these other ones. Okay. Like, go to 11,000. Let's hear what 11,000 is.
Yeah.
Just one that we can hear.
Pierce. What's that, 11,000?
11,000.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 12.
I hear that.
Yep. 13.
I can hardly hear
it. Go back to 20.
Gone.
No, go back to 20.
20 hertz.
20 hertz, 20,000.
That's 20 hertz.
And that's what it sounds like when we're talking through that.
Now go to 15.
15 hertz.
15 hertz. 15 hertz, not Avis.
Is that 15 hertz?
Yeah,
it is.
Really low.
I can't hear that.
Right. You really can't hear that?
I hear like a...
I think that's what it is, the...
Let's listen.
Play without us talking. Please.
Okay. Oh,
15 hertz in 3, 2...
Here it is.
Just
you hear that? It's like
a wave. Just barely. You really understand the concept of sound waves. Can you hear the wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, wah, that only people much younger than us can hear.
Only teenagers can hear them. Adults cannot.
All right, roll one more, Rob, and then...
That's loud.
Fitty.
Right? That's very loud.
That's fitty.
I heard that. Oh, that's really... Ow, I don't like that.
Hello. Don, I told you it's annoying. Hello, Don and Mitra. This, we thought stuff was broken today.
Yeah.
Rob was in here. I said, what the hell is he? He goes, great website. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thanks.
Where is your engineering staff today? FM only broadcasts up to about 15,000 hertz.
So anything we saw, everything that we've been playing, like, is not going over the line?
15K and above, yeah.
No. The FM transmitters and the STLs are only designed to go up to about 15,000
hertz. Does anybody understand this engineering model?
What he's saying is when we get up into the really high frequencies, the FM transmitter will not broadcast.
Oh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, I'd be curious to see if anybody's heard this when we're sending it over the radio.
Only
on high-def radios, probably.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, I didn't hear it, but I heard... My dogs didn't hear either, but I did hear crackling. That's about it.
So maybe it's not being broadcast.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, somewhere between 11 and 12,000, it's not going over the air.
All right, try 11,000. I think you would be able to hear that, for goodness sakes. Right? That's like a high-pitched...
Piercing... Right?
Almost sounds like somebody's pacemaker going off or something.
Can you call us and let us know if you hear that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
I'd be interested for a sound tech to call in and find out what frequency range will a normal PA speaker or a car system speaker top out at.
Usually
I can't hear that either.
Now, we're hearing it through our headphones, so
yes.
I don't know what significance that has. You know, because, I mean, it's getting through our audio chain right here.
But is it making it out on the radio?
Hello? A good stereo goes up to about 20, but radio, FM radio, doesn't.
Don and Mike Show. That's why we got to go to satellite, Buzz.
Exactly right.
Good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning. What's happening? Welcome to the Morning Zoo.
You made a comment about the man from came over from England or somewhere. You said he's Peruvian. Why do you hop on Peruvian?
That's a phony accent.
Yeah. Is he close to Mexican?
You're doing a phony accent.
Badly.
Can he be mistaken as Mexican?
You're being phony.
Who is this? Don, explain yourself.
Hold on, I want you to listen.
Terrible accent.
I want you to listen to this for a second.
Don, you have to explain yourself about the group Peruvian.
We're sending out waves now, just to you, sir.
Peruvian.
Just for you. There's the wave
we're
talking about. We're trying to make your eyeballs pop out.
You ass. Hello.
You
hello.
Explain the Peruvian.
Hello. All right, you ready for some instant research? Here we go. Joe's got people who are hearing it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Corey.
Hey, Radio Gods. Corey out of Las Vegas. You guys were making my keychain finally go off and my testicles explode.
Hey, you know what we were asked? Somebody said, do you guys have an engineer on the premises? We do. We happen to have our main man, the chief
Santa
engineer
Claus,
for the whole group, Jeff
Santa
Lockridge.
Claus Limbaugh.
All right, here
hello,
we go.
Hello, Brent, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I can only hear it at 50.
Only at 50. All right, here is our engineer, Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Jeff, would you like to share some light on this situation?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who called in and said anything above 15 kilohertz is correct.
So it will
because
not
be heard.
Because
the little stereo light that lights up on the radio is a 19 kilohertz tone. So in order to protect that,
so the whole time that we've been
brick wall anything above,
just 15, to cut to the chase, the whole time that we've been here playing these sounds, none of it's been going out on the radio.
Anything above 15 kilohertz, no.
Everything below 15 should.
And, oh, hold on. And so this one right
here, the 11 kilohertz, 12, 14, that should.
Do you mean 1,000?
Yes. 1,000 hertz, exactly.
Okay, so 13,000, that goes out.
That should be going.
People should be able to hear that.
Yes.
Okay, what about this one?
That's going out too, right?
How low? Yeah, that's going out.
How low is
that? That one goes out.
Hey, can I ask you a question, engineering question?
Sure.
How come when he plays the really low frequency, it distorts our voices, and when the high frequencies don't?
Because it's making the speaker cone move, oscillate, in and out, in and out, in and out. And
that distorts our voices.
Your voice is modulating your voice.
I want all dogs to release their bladders now. And bowels. Now I want you to bite your owners. Oh, man. What?
Oh, he can't stand
that. Bothering you, Jeff?
Yeah, because he doesn't wear headphones. We got these dead ears in here. And I got mine are deader than anybody else's.
Huh?
How's that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
We can hear 11,000. After that, we can't hear anything over the air.
All right, gotcha. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
All right, see you later. Hello.
Thank you for enlightening us.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, guys, I'm a little constipated. Do you think you could play the brown noise?
Hey, Jeff, you want to see a picture of the Silver Surfer's kielbasa?
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say? Like I had the thing.
I said, I asked Jeff if you want to see a picture of the Silver Surfer's kielbasa.
Kind of neat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Jeff.
See Rush Limbaugh make a tie out of that.
Wow.
This has really been a great segment, hasn't it?
I like this. We learned a lot.
Luke. What?
Luke, I'm your... Oh.
Okay. Well, hold on. There you go.
Luke, I'm your father. I'm your father.
Yeah.
Nipsey Russell.
All right, well.
Hello, Hal.
That's a hearing test.
Hello, Dave.
Most people can hear 15 to 20,000 HZ sounds.
Right.
As we age, this ability diminishes.
Right.
Rock concerts and blaring iPods can accelerate this hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Any exposure to loud sounds for extended periods of time can cause hearing loss. We hear tones best near human speech, which is at 500 to 4,000.
That's what we hear best?
Right. Mm-hmm. For most adults, hearing loss progressively clips off at the higher frequencies of 18,000 to 20,000.
Mm-hmm. Why is it hardest for me to hear in a crowded restaurant? That's where I have trouble.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
I mean, when I...
I can answer that.
Well, you can?
Why?
Yeah. Because to hear diction, T's and S's and sounds like that, you have to be able to hear the high frequencies, and if there's competing noise, you won't hear those things, so you won't be able to make out the words.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
And that's what I do in crowded restaurants, too, Buzz. I go, okay.
Would you repeat that, Buzz?
No.
No, come on.
S's and T's are high-frequency sounds, so in order to hear diction and understand words, you can't have any competing noise, especially if you have a hearing loss in that range.
Got it. I got it. I got it.
This is like a bad acid trip right now.
Oh, we have fun with those bad acids.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
See you later.
You going to make a Rush Limbaugh tie joke now? Is that what's going
to No, I'm, but not me, Mike. All right. Not me. Not me. Hey, Mike.
What?
I like your sweater.
Thanks, Dorans. It's orange, Don.
It's pretty, Mike.
Got an orange sweater on today.
Orange sweater. We'll be right back with some old fart who's trying to make it a NASCAR. Really, some 70-year-old guy who's trying to make the cut.
Wow.
NASCAR, right?
I can't wait.
That's it. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ricky Bobby, today's big winner. A heck of a win for you today, but it seems as if you either win or crash the car trying to win.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellent, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use it as a tradition, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
They will choke your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Hi there.
You're goddamn genius.
Thank you. Well, a lot of people like me, football's just about over.
Yep.
winding down.
You got American Idol, you got 24, and then you got NASCAR.
Right.
And they ran lots of ads yesterday for Daytona 500. And, it's time for a little segment we like to call Senior Citizens in the News.
Hey.
Very exciting.
I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose. I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me.
Let's say hello to 72-year-old James Hilton.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jimmy, what's happening? The deal with this gentleman is he is 72, just a little younger than Buzz, and he wants to qualify for the Daytona.
Now, you've raced all your life, James, but you're getting back into it, and I would imagine you're a pretty significant long shot. What's motivating you to do this?
Well, I've raced all my life since I was 18 and raced steady on NASCAR.
Way back then when you were 18, did you race horses back then?
Yes, I had a start out in a 37 Ford Coupe.
I mean actual horses. If you were that old, I'm talking about horsepower. I mean,
you know what's cool about this guy? Yeah, you got your start actually steps away from, just a couple of miles away from, my area over in Manassas, Virginia. That's the first race you raced in, right? At the Old Dominion Raceway?
That's right. And made $100.
$100? Yeah. It's exactly what they're still paying out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
So when you first started racing, did they have the type of cars that had, like, those windy things in the front of them? They had to wind up like a jack-in-the-box to get them going?
No, it just, you still crank them from a front, the old crank, like in the old days.
Right. You crank them up to get them. That's how old you are.
You were racing back in the days where, didn't a lot of these guys legitimately, race car drivers, come from backgrounds where, they ran some moonshine and stuff like that? I mean, it actually really happened back when you started, right?
Well, that's right. That's what what happened with NASCAR was a bunch of old bootlegging boys and farm boys got out there in the cow pasture and raced each other. That gave France the idea.
True or false, you were the Rookie of the Year in 1966.
That's right.
NASCAR Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, we're here. We can hear you.
Yeah. Guess how old I was in 1966, sir. Give it a guess.
I would be scared to say.
That's the type of reckless abandon that's going to let you make the field at Daytona. Come on. Make a guess, old-timer. Make a guess. I don't believe you have the reflexes to drive a car. you can't make a guess, old man.
Well, he's done well at Daytona, though. That's the thing. You like that race course.
Yeah, I like Daytona. I ran third there one time behind Mario Andretti.
I was 8. If you're wondering, I was 8.
8 years young.
8 years old when you first ran a Daytona 500, and you were Rookie of the Year.
And you raced against Mario Andretti?
That's right.
How old do you think Mike was?
I'm not sure. I know he's retired, and I'm still racing. That's the only thing I'm sure about.
I think he's talking about Mario Andretti. Do you know I stood in line when I was a kid, when I was 13 years old, to get Mario Andretti's autograph?
I bet you were 7, weren't you?
I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old. I counted on my fingers.
Here's a wild card. Right. How old was Rob?
Rob wasn't born yet.
How many years would it be until Rob was born?
10.
More than that, Rob. When were you born?
71.
71. James? Well, I won Talladega 500 when I was in 1972.
So, I mean, it's not that long ago, really. I mean, did you ever think NASCAR would turn into be what it is today? I mean, it's the fastest growing sport in America right now.
That's right. That's amazing. If I wish I had thought ahead a little bit and kept some of my old race cars and looking for the future, I didn't look that far ahead.
James, here's the serious question. You ran NASCAR before. You were a champion driver before. What are the odds, really, that you make the field this year? Don't you need a sponsor? And also, at this point, would you leave your blinker on? Would you leave your left hand
to just to confuse the other drivers, right?
Mike, that's what old people do.
I understand. Yeah. I understand, Bruce.
I know you get jokes.
Why are you doing this, James? Really? I mean, you just love it, but the odds are against you. But is this kind of like your hobby? Like some guys would retire and play golf. you decided to go back into racing. Have you been on and off involved in racing since you last raced, or what's the amount of time since you last raced?
Well, I've raced every year since I quit the Winston Cup race. Not Winston Cup anymore, it's Nextel.
That'd be Nextel today, right?
Yeah. See, I still don't remember. Ever since I've quit the Cup racing, I've raced ARCA. If you're not familiar with ARCA, it's racing out in the Midwest with the same kind of same cars as what NASCAR uses.
Okay, so I mean you're still doing it. You've been doing it all along, so it's not that much of a stretch for you.
Are you going to try to qualify for the Daytona 500?
But that's for sure. We're working hard at it. I got my crew is all pumped up about it. Richard Childress Racing is back in this car, and you know, I don't know if you know, we went down and tested last week. Was the last day of testing, we were 15th fastest overall at 185 mile an hour, so we're definitely in the hunt.
Hey, that's pretty good for an old man. I'm not kidding you.
185 miles an hour. Wow. Now, for the actual 500, on the day of the actual 500, what will the top speeds be thereabouts, be about 185, or will they go even higher than that?
Oh, they'll go higher when everybody gets hooked up racing. They're going to be up around, they'll be racing right at least 189, even 190.
Wow.
Now, what are some of these young guns like Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, guys like this? Denny Hamlin. Do they even acknowledge? Yeah, that's Mike's guy, the FedEx guy.
Right.
Do they know who you are? Do you hang around the pits with these guys? Or do they just look at you like some old guy?
Oh, yeah, they definitely know who I am because in the ARCA racing, see, we're usually racing there on the same weekend. But I did hear something down there after I got through testing running that 185. Somebody said Jeff Gordon just ran over my walker.
Do you think, are they giving you the impression they are welcoming you to this? Are you getting any vibes from anybody that this might be a little dangerous, or are people, well, I mean, you have the experience, you know what you're doing. Are you getting a good reception from the regular Nextel drivers?
Yes, I am. They're treating me real well, and even young drivers are coming over shaking my hand, and the Bush boys, they come over.
The Bush babies,
Kyle and Kurt.
The Bush
babies.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called?
Carl Bush Edwards baby. Came over.
What's that?
Carl Edwards, he came over and shook my hand, said glad to be racing with me. So I don't see any problem, and take the number off the car, and you won't even know who's out.
You realize he's talking to us right now, DJs. He's like, before this happened, if you're going at 185, anything can happen in a race. You finish in the top 10, you're going to go from talking to disc jockeys to being like a feature article in Sports Illustrated.
What are the odds that you'd simply make the field? How many are there? 38, 39 cars that make the field, something like that.
The odds are definitely against it, we're running. So with NASCAR, they got 35 cars already locked in on points. They don't have to qualify.
How many in addition to that?
We got eight spots. You're going to have about 30 cars trying to make eight spots.
That'd be so cool if you did it.
Yeah.
That would be great if you could do that, James.
Hey, how do you feel about Toyota? Come on, be honest.
Well,
they're ruining NASCAR.
Way I feel about it, they better get hooked up because we're not waiting on them.
There you go. Yeah.
Right,
just said it.
That's right.
Shake and bake. At 72, are you getting any race car groupies?
Well, I'm starting to get a fan base now. You know, I seen a lady down at the racetrack. Hanging on the fence, she looked like she's about 65.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's a question for you. If you happen to make the field, it seems to me you got as good a shot as anybody. There's eight spots for
30 drivers for
30
eight spots.
30 drivers, eight spots. Mm-hmm. If you made the race, how much would it cost us to buy, 5 inches on your car?
Well, see, then if I make that race, I'll have my agent call you.
If you qualify. How much would it cost us if we wanted to get 5 inches on the race car before you qualify?
before the price should be right. So.
That's great.
Now, are they covering you seriously? Like ESPN, TNT, NBC, have any of the networks come to you say that you're like a feel-good story yet?
Yes, all of those networks have really given me a lot of coverage and good coverage.
Oh, we got to get our name on this guy's car.
Yeah,
and
we got to. It's got to be like Don and Mike love old people. We got to put that on the car.
Do you obviously, James? You've got a manager, right? Richard Childress is kind of unofficially backing this car, right?
That's right.
So we'd probably have to, if we were going to, be a small sponsor of your car, we'd have to contact Richard Childress Racing. We've always wanted to put our name on a race car.
And I've always had an idea for people your age. I was thinking we could call it something like Don and Mike's Leisure Camps. you could be the spokesman. Because
I've been waiting for AARP to call me. So far they haven't.
I really think, seriously, if you do happen to qualify, and there's no reason to think you might not qualify for this race, this will open up a lot of sponsorship doors. Has anybody made any overtures to you yet about being involved with some kind of sponsorships?
What about the Metamucil car?
Well, as a matter of fact, we do have several people that are interested to get on the car. So we may be fully sponsored for the qualifying time, right. Sure enough.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, you're 72. How is your health?
I passed my physical.
Barely. And are you married, sir?
No, I've been divorced for about 15 years, so I'm still helping.
That's a round of applause. That means you're going to go faster.
You know, here I am. I was thinking this is a goof, and now I'm actually reading some of the stuff about you that we just pulled up on the web. Do you know that last year, James actually qualified for a Busch Series race in Milwaukee?
Well, there you go. And that's no slouch right
there. That's like A ball.
Real deal.
Triple A ball as opposed to major league. That's very close. What kind of car did you drive when you qualified in Milwaukee? How fast were you going there?
That was a Jay Robertson sponsored Chevrolet Monte Carlo, and that's what I'm Richard Childress Chevrolet I'm driving now. I think I'm going to be partial to Chevrolet with the way things have been going.
That's not bad. And since 1964, what's the best car you ever drove? Everybody's got to have a favorite. Anybody that's done what you've done, you have to have your darling car in all those years. What's your favorite car?
Well, the car I ran last year in the ARCA Series finished 18th in the driver points for the year. Mm-hmm. And this car is an 05 Ford Taurus. And we named it Martina McBride after the singer, country singer.
McBride. Right.
Yeah, and that's my favorite car. It ran all the races and didn't crash. It didn't even put a dent in it. Right. Ran 17 races. That was my favorite up until now, until I drove this car I got now around Daytona. And this car here, I just about want to sleep with it every night. We'll keep it in my sight.
Well, hell, if you qualify, I think Martina McBride ought to come down and spend the night with you in your trailer.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, James, I hear that. Get her done. You're a very entertaining guy. Thanks for being on the show. I thought this was a goofy interview. Turns out you're serious as hell. We wish you nothing but the best.
Good luck to you, James. We really hope you qualify.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want all the seniors to pull for me now because this is for seniors to show them that right. You get 70 years old, you're not dead yet.
Amen, brother.
The car should be sponsored by Oxygen. I mean, not the network, the stuff that you smell and breathe.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what I'll do on the pit stop. Instead of gas, they'll have to give me Oxygen.
Good luck, James.
We'll watch for you. Thanks,
Good
Jim.
Good luck.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye, see you later.
Man.
Bye.
Grandpa, would you like to take us fishing to tell us life lessons and stories about your childhood?
I got a better idea. Why don't you boys go dig a hole, and I'll get another beer.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Good call. There, that's worth the nickel.
Tragic.
Tragic.
That's more Ricky Bobby stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, good luck. Who knows? Maybe he can make it. Why couldn't he make it?
Well, he's been racing. It's not like he's been retired. He's actually been racing just on the smaller circuits, and that'd be amazing if he did that. It really would. They talk about, I guess you know more about racing than I do, but don't they say that reflexes are the whole game? I mean, that's why it's a... But look at Paul Newman. Paul Newman's 80 years old, and he's still winning races. Yeah.
Did you see Paul Newman on Letterman last week?
I did, yes. With that driver that looked like he weighed 30 pounds?
I TiVo right past that. Every time Paul Newman's on Letterman, it's just like going to Thanksgiving and have to sit and listen to listen to the old uncle who's got the stories and you have to.
Well, you know why Letterman has him on. There's the racing.
It's the boner for racing.
And
right.
Letterman
right.
goes nuts for the race.
Something looks wrong. I mean, he's running around like he's on fire.
Oh, my God, help me. I don't want to die.
Ricky Bobby.
Stop.
Ricky Bobby.
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
I'm on fire.
You're not on fire.
But I'm not even sure he even knows where he's at right now.
This makes us all realize the kind of pressure these drivers are under.
Mr. Bobby, come on down here. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
But how could you not like Will Ferrell, Mike?
I never saw Ricky Bobby.
Use the witchcraft on me to get the fire off me.
He's really not on fire.
Ricky Bobby.
You mentioned Paul Newman. Have you seen any of the new mysterious Robert Redford face from the Sundance Film Festival?
No.
There's mysterious things going on with that face.
Is he growing more of those things on his face?
Well, he's wearing glasses, and his face is not wrinkled, but it's almost like pushed forward.
I always thought Robert Redford had not had anything done, which is why he looked all craggy.
He hasn't had anything done. And I think that's why he just gets craggier.
I got a hard time busting his balls because at least he's one of those. He's not like Michael Douglas, one of those guys that's had his face pulled back.
No, there's no way. I don't think Robert Redford's done anything. And neither is Paul Newman. I don't think he's done anything either.
He doesn't need to.
Right.
Right.
There's a mystery with Mr. Redford.
Mr. Redford.
Okay, Rob.
And he was so handsome in the day.
Yeah.
Back when I was gay for him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I was wondering if that guy runs his race the whole time with his blinker on.
Oh, boy. God, that's frustrating.
Sure is. You can't hear this on over the phone, right?
No, it's like the frequency. This must be up over 15 hertz or whatever.
I got
or 15,000, whatever the hell it is.
That's a good joke.
I wish I remember where I heard it before.
Yeah.
You mentioned Paul Newman.
Right. Okay. Bye, Dumas.
Thank you. And it was complimented by the bad cell phone, too.
Perfect, really.
That was
terrible,
just
terrible, terrible.
It was terrible, Simon. Please listen before you call.
Bush baby.
Yeah.
You're a bush baby.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes.
Did anybody see on YouTube those two creeps that were on American Idol on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday night?
No, Jimmy Kimmel is
The fat guy and the bug eye boy.
Yeah.
And also there's a story that one of the people on American Idol, I'm not sure which one of the ones it was.
The fat guy, I think.
Was in the Special Olympics.
And Special Olympics has come out and said they had no problem with the way he was handled on American Idol.
And they are having to do so much goddamn spin now. Over the weekend, I read something in maybe the New York Times of all newspapers, the paper of record or whatever they call it, where they were talking to Simon Cowell about how cruel they are, the perception that they're cruel this year.
Right.
And his quote was, I'm paraphrasing, something like, "We're not any crueler than we were before. You don't see when these people come before us when the cameras aren't on. And we tell them that they stink, and they still want to do it."
Right, right.
So he was saying, you're not seeing everything. Like, when we see the retarded people come up, we tell them, hey, you're retarded. We're just going to make fun of you. But they want it anyway. And you know why? Because they're retarded.
I have a nuts and bolts American
Idol. Mentally retarded.
That involves, you see these huge stadiums where people are staging for the auditions. The judges, Paula, Randy, and Simon, they don't get to see every single solitary person, do they? They're pre-done. So if you're really, really horrible bad, you get through, and if you're good, you get through.
Right.
But the great average people that are really, like, on the borderline, they edit those people out.
I think
is that how it works?
We had last week, like, out of the 16,000 people that showed up somewhere, like, 200 made it to be in front of them.
And they make it because they're so bad.
Correct.
So that's interesting.
Correct.
It kind of bugs me. I don't know why it bugs me, but I guess they can't interview all these.
Here's Dr. Phil defending American Idol.
American Idol is a game show. I mean, it is great family entertainment, and I don't think that they are the guardians of Americans' mental health. I just really don't. They know the drill. They know what's happening. And these people that are going on there that can't sing, and so they get ridiculed, they're looking for their 15 minutes, okay?
And everybody says he's making a lot of sense there.
Certainly.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
You are such
the bush babies. What are you doing?
You know, we've got to have somebody listening to this show that has auditioned, that has gone through the process. I would be very curious to know behind the scenes how everything works. Like, for example, when you get those guys in there, if they go in...
Like the bug eye boy?
Yeah, with a pretty good idea that they're going to get reamed.
Right,
you know, I would think they would. I'd love to know what the logistics are,
that's
how they're prepped for that and all that.
In this article that I read, that's what Simon Cowell said. He said, you know, we're getting this rap as being cruel. These people that come in, and specifically the people that were on the show last week, out of the people that you saw, maybe five of them, we pulled aside, we said to them before the cameras went on, you're really awful.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, that's okay.
We still want to go in front of Simon.
We still want to go on.
Right. I bet that's how it works. They said to him, if you really want to do that, we'll let you do that.
Did you see Bush Baby on with Vieira this morning on the Today Show?
No.
She asked him point blank, do you feel like you were set up to fail? He said no.
So they get the people that actually
they had him
know they're
going to
get
real.
They had him and the fat guy.
So they know that they're going to get ridiculed, or they're so clueless
that
they say, hey, you can audition in front of the big guns if you want.
Really, it's like saying to someone with who's not playing with a full deck,
right?
Hey, these matches are great. Mm-hmm. Why not put some of these matches in your mouth? I mean, you know,
do you think that? I think my question is, do you think they BS them all along the chain before they get to Randy, Paul, and Simon?
Possibly.
Do you think they do it that way,
even
or do they give them a clue? Say, hey, look, we think you're not good. That's why we were laughing. But if you want to try on the next level, we'll let... Or do they say, okay, we're going to let you through and just totally BS them to get them in, because they have to go through a pre-auditioning
or
process.
Or is it possible that they that these, like the bug eye boy and the
right.
guy, the Special Olympics guy, that they are just... You could say to them...
So that was really good. You're going to get to audition in front of Simon and Randy.
Or you could just say realistically, hey, listen, fat Special Olympics boy, you're really not very good. Mm-hmm. And you know what he's going to say? You know, can I eat some more matches, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love
can
to
Can I
what...
put some more matches in my mouth?
But see, that's the thing. Nobody's really... Everybody's always talked about, hey, you know, is Paula wasted or not? But nobody's asking the kind of questions like the behind the scenes.
Right.
What's it really like and what is the process? Because it is an incredibly entertaining show, and I know a lot goes into... You know, sanitizing that for our consumption,
it,
and I'd love to see what goes on.
Right. I also read her latest excuse for all those tapes last week.
What's she saying now?
What she's saying now is that it's so easy that I can't believe she did not explain this as easy as it came out. Mm-hmm. While she was talking to San Francisco, she had the Los Angeles station in her ear.
Yeah, right.
While she was on with the San Francisco station, she had Atlanta in her ear. While she was on with New Orleans, she had Philadelphia in her ear. So... she was not responding to questions.
She was being asked. Right.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's a question of what she had in her ear. It's a question of what she had in her nose and her mouth.
That's the best you can do.
I think that might be the more operative question for Paula.
That's the best excuse you can come up with, Paula.
So many people were talking to me, I couldn't even figure it out.
Shut up.
Thank you, Simon. Simon!
Boys, baby.
Simon!
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes.
Oh, God.
What are they called? Bush baby.
Meanwhile, American
Idol. I love Randy's reaction to that. That's my favorite part of that.
American Idol is laughing absolutely all the way to the bank because it used
incredible.
To be, the other TV networks would not cover American Idol news because you're giving Fox publicity.
Right.
Now that they got the chance to jump on it with something they perceive as being negative, they really go all the way with it, full blown, and it does nothing but heighten our anticipation for the next episode.
Yeah, with that many viewers with their first week, you've got more people this week now that are wanting to jump on the bandwagon. I would say they're going to set more records this week.
Probably.
It's going to get bigger and bigger.
Really? Hold on. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Isaac Hayes. Don and Mike. Shut your mouth.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, this is not an Isaac Hayes song, though.
No, it's not.
That's terrible.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I really, really, really hate that.
Okay.
Just very average. Don and Mike.
That's what this show is. Just a big bowl of average.
And we're proud of it.
Stand by, Mike. I'm going to have a challenge for you in our next break.
I'm looking forward to it.
Michael, there are talent challenge.
Do I have to put on a dog collar?
You do not.
Ah.
Just wear that orange sweater.
And I know you like it.
And you are golden.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow on the show, we are finally going to do that. Some type of a cougar game.
Ah, good.
Involving cougar predators and cougar preys.
Right.
Meaning fellows who found cougars recently and have bedded them, and then in turn, we'll be hopefully talking to cougars who have found younger men to bed them.
Wonderful. Both predator and prey.
And then hopefully tomorrow, if we get enough cougars calling in to participate in our cougar segment will work towards my dream scenario for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there are some stations that have street teams.
Right.
And like the morning guys here, the junkies, sports junkies, they have the Junkettes.
Junkettes, right? Lovely ladies, yes.
And what they do is they send these whores out to various
ladies,
whores,
women, young
to right. various station events, and they show their boobs and show their legs, and they give away like placards and stuff and refrigerator magnets.
Right, I think I see where you're going with this, and I like it already.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see why our show can't be promoted mm-hmm. like the rest of the shows and like the station is, just because we don't want to get some hot 18-year-old whore.
The Don and Mike Cougars.
Yes, and I think we should really get grade A piece of ass cougar material.
Yeah, first class.
Dress them up all hot.
Right.
Like the sports junkies dress up their whores.
Sure.
And send our whores out to do a bang-up job to promote this show.
Amen.
So to speak. Right?
Same outfits and everything.
Yeah. Real skimpy stuff.
Perfect. Where are the Don and Mike Cougars going to be this weekend?
But good-looking Cougars.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have to be good-looking. What's the age range you're looking for?
Well, Mike, this is why we got to devote an hour.
We have to figure out what the age range is going to be.
Very tomorrow good. We'll get into the world of the cougar, the predator, the prey, the kind of guy that wants to go out. See, I think we can do an entire break tomorrow with guys calling and telling us about their cougar conquests
mm-hmm.
over the holidays, over the New Year, even last weekend
right.
with the football games. Then the women who were the conquests, and that's where we eventually will find the beginnings of our, in essence, Dallas Cowboy cheerleader squad.
And maybe we'll have 10. Maybe we'll have 15. Maybe we'll have 20.
Maybe we'll have one.
Maybe we'll be lucky to get one.
One cougar. Well, that's
our lone cougar.
That is something to think about for tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll once the other cougars realize the fun she's having.
The cougar predators, cougar preys, and then, of course, the wonderful cougars themselves, our song and dance girls that will be going out and making the show.
And, of course, coming up this summer, the fabulous cougar cook-off.
Number one is absolutely no time. God, want a good list?
I love a good list, and I know you do, too.
This one will drive you just nuts. It's the best game show hosts of all time.
Oh, good.
And that, of course, is a topic that is totally subjective. Everybody's got their own opinion.
Well, I think it's Bob Barker.
Well, it is, and I think we'd all be in agreement right. that Bob Barker is the cream of the crop.
Wonderful.
He's number one.
I'm getting old, though. I'm going to run NASCAR.
And we have Trebek at number two.
Haven't they always battled for number one and number two?
Yes, they have.
So to speak.
And number three is Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal.
No.
Way back in the day.
Unacceptable.
I don't know.
Number four, Sajak, Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, he's been on a long time.
Mm. Number five, I think this one's bogus too, Regis for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No. Okay, now you've...
Yeah, but you know, it looks like it's about 12 inches long.
You mean you've got the top five and you don't have the greatest of the great?
I got 20 on this list.
You mean I got... PT's not on there?
Peter Tamarkin, Mike, is number 18.
Wow, just barely.
Number
18, that is an injustice.
Whammy, whammy, no whammies, no whammies. Big bucks, big bucks, big bucks.
Press your luck, the greatest game show in the history of television.
The late, great Peter Tamarkin.
He's no longer with us?
Taken much too soon from us, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let me see. Dick Clark is number six.
Good.
For the $10,000 pyramid.
Great show. And Dick Clark was a great game show.
Yeah,
a great game.
This is what is really, really wrong with this list, which comes from NBC. This is from NBC.com.
Okay.
They have Bob Eubanks at number eight for the newlywed game.
Solid. He should be in the top ten.
Gene Rayburn at number nine.
Oh, yeah.
For Match Game.
All right, Rob, calm down.
Richard Dawson, number ten for Family Feud.
Dawson was a legend.
Mm-hmm. So, hold on. Let me see. I'm trying to get to number seven, who's really the peg that doesn't fit even more than Regis.
All right.
Because you've got at number six, Dick Clark.
Okay.
At number eight, Bob Eubanks.
That those two are, I mean, they should be in the top ten.
Right. At number seven, they have Jeff Probst.
Oh.
He is not.
No, he's not a game show host.
He's not a game show host.
No.
He's a guy in Banana Republic pants. He's not a game show host.
That's not right.
No. Right.
Jeff Probst.
Then you have.
Okay, throw him to the Sharks.
Now, the bottom 20.
Yes.
Get ready for all kinds of upset.
Well, you've missed so many of them.
Yes. Number 11, not my list, Mike, NBC's list.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, Mark Summers.
Oh, excuse me, Double Dare?
Double Dare.
That's crap.
Yeah. Isn't Mark Summers dead, too?
No, he's alive.
No, that's too bad.
Where's
That's too bad. I thought he was dead. Then you have Wink Martindale.
Keep hoping,
Don. Tic-Tac-Doe.
You're thinking of Ray Combs.
Groucho Marx, You Bet Your Life.
Right.
Okay, here's some real BS. At number 14, the 14th best game show host of all time, Anderson freaking Cooper.
For what?
What?
The Mole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, then you have, no then you have, but I think there's one that's even worse than that. Hold on a second. Then you've got Johnny Carson, Who Do You Trust?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stein, Win Ben Stein's Money.
But this is still not right. Where's Alan Ludden?
Alan Ludden, Password.
Oh, thank you.
Chuck Woolery, Love Connection.
Chuck Woolery should not be that low.
Mike Adamley, American Gladiators.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I know what a bogus.
Where's Bill? Is Bill Cullen on the list?
Not in the top 20,
Bill
Mike.
Cullen's not in the top 20.
The truth, right.
Not in the top 20.
Where's Wally Bruner? Wally Bruner from
To Tell the Truth. Right?
Where's Gary Moore?
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to talk
about Jim Lang,
how about Jack Barry? Oh,
Jack. I'm Jack Barry. Uh-huh. I'm Jack Barry.
The Joker is wild.
What about Rolf Brunerska?
Mm-hmm. Like,
what about name? He was the kicker for the Chargers, who was the host of the daytime.
What about TK?
Chuck Barry.
Tom Kennedy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Name that tune.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff Probst.
Yes.
Yeah, he did start as a game show host. He did the rock and roll version of Jeopardy on MTV.
Oh, you know what? I give this guy credit. He's right, but that still doesn't make Jeff Probst the game show host, in our opinion. But you're right. I do remember that.
Yeah. Thank you.
On MTV. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Legendary. And where's Hugh Downs?
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Concentration.
And, of course, his great disease.
Downs.
Hugh Downs Syndrome. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, that Peter Kamarkin?
Yeah.
He died in that plane crash last spring. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but I didn't know if you knew that, but there you go.
You can't. The crickets are singing for you right now. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The crickets will sing when you repeat what one of the principals has said.
Yeah. Donna Mike Show, hello.
Hi, Donna Mike. Can you sponsor me and my hot rod? I want to start drag racing. My name is Wilbur.
Are you going? Hold on a second. Can I ask you a question?
Did he say to you, will you pleasure me in my drag car?
No, sponsor.
You sponsor me in my stock car.
Are you actually trying to do an old man?
No, I am an old man. I'm 99
This is pathetic. Horrible.
Don!
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Get out of here. Hello, Don. I'm Mike Jones.
You're not right for this audition.
Goodbye, Bush, baby.
Mimic Monday.
Hello.
Hello, Bob Barker?
You know, are people listening today?
No. Bob Barker was number one. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
The crazy co-kid from the Gong Show, is he on the list?
You know, Chuck Barris.
Should be on the list.
I would definitely put Chuck Barris ahead of Mike Adamley.
Yeah.
And even ahead of Regis.
Right. And the guy from Double Dare that you mentioned.
Yeah. Mark Summers.
Who's on the Food Network.
Yuck. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Gods, Corey in Vegas again.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hey. I thoroughly enjoyed your show out in Arco Aroma, November 31st. Ah, anyway, where's that tool, Alan Thick?
Alan Thick.
Alan Thick. That was for his comment about our show on the 31st.
Oh, but Alan Thick, a reasonable contribution.
Bert Convey.
Bert Convey. Another one.
AIDS. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Can't make the list, bus. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I didn't know.
Hello. You know NBC.
Hey. Donna Mike Show?
Hello, yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, how about the original MTV, back when they hosted a game show called Remote Control? I don't remember what the guy's name
was.
Who was
that?
It was funny as hell.
Who was it?
Ken Ober.
I like Ken Ober.
I put him on the list higher than some of these other guys.
Yeah.
And do you remember back in the day? That was a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm. Remote Control was a very popular show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Ronald.
Yes, it's you, Ronald.
Hey, what about Peter Marshall, Hollywood Squares?
Peter Marshall, good one. Should definitely be on the list.
So what about his son?
Son?
Pete LeCocq.
Played for the Kansas City Royals.
And the Chicago Cubs.
Pete LeCocq.
Dirty name. That's his real name.
Peter LeCocq is Peter Marshall.
Oh, God, it might show. Peter Marshall Jr.
Is Peter LeCocq.
Peter LeCocq.
Right. He was also a novelty act in France before he came to the United States.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello. I think you may have been at my
The Moulin Rouge is proud to present, for the first time ever, Peter LeCocq.
I think you may have been at my niece's baby shower as well. I think, you know, I was not able to get a lot of information from my girlfriend, but aren't baby showers, generally speaking, like dirty sex parties for women? Where they, like, they do crossword,
absolutely.
They do crossword puzzles that have to do with sex, and like,
right.
they get out dildos and stuff.
Right. It's true.
Right, at a baby shower?
Exactly what it is.
Don't that happen?
It's a sex party.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sex party.
Hello.
What's
wrong? See, Donnie, no, it's Don and Mike, and your name is Donnie from West Palm Beach. Is this what we have to do now to walk our callers through? Do we have to say your name and your town? Hello, Donnie from West Palm Beach.
How are you, Donnie? What can we do for you?
We're good. Did you mention Bert Convy?
Yes, just a moment ago.
Okay. My other question was, I'm listening on...
Mentioned him, and I think you heard the reason he's not on the list.
Convy.
Heard why.
So insincere.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What's happening?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, buddy? This is Darren from Sacramento, man. I won that contest for that boxing match because I have sex with my mother's friends, and I got an update for you.
What is this guy even talking about?
What are you talking about?
Remember that? Remember that? That one, I beat out the lady from Hawaii that had a cockroach stuck in her privates, and I won because I have sex with multiple friends of my mom.
I don't know. Sounds like a great show. Did we do it?
Are you sure it was our show? Was this the biggest lie?
Come on, man. I'm not an idiot. It was like 6 years ago.
I remember.
Okay, bye-bye.
We've done so many things.
But he's not an idiot, Mike.
No, not at all.
Hello, Don. Don and Mike.
Hi. Hi, it's Adam from Virginia.
Yes, hi, Adam. Turn down your radio, please.
What about the guy from This Academic?
Incidentally, can I take this?
Mac McGarry?
I don't think so. Local.
Local,
that's
maybe.
The end of the round. Okay. And may I take this opportunity to say hello to all of our listeners in Sacramento, America's Salad Bar.
That's right.
Thank you.
With no sneeze guard.
I just coined that idea. I like that. That should be bumper stickers.
True.
Sacramento, America's Salad Bar.
They grow.
And then Don's with no sneeze guard right on the bottom of it.
Those aren't croutons, they're boogers.
You know, they got the tomatoes, they got the lettuce,
right.
They got asparagus.
Right.
Can't really put that in the salad bar.
Welcome to Sizzler. How about those kings?
If you eat lettuce, most likely it's come from Sacramento.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, how about Groucho Marx?
He was on there.
How about he was on the list? How about you just listen to the whole goddamn segment, huh, friend?
Before you're so eager to call in, you got to listen.
Please.
Well, I wasn't that eager.
Wait, yes, hold on, you weren't that eager. You called, you're on the air. What do you mean? We didn't call you.
I'm not panting.
He's got us there.
Touche.
Touche.
Get out of here.
Amen.
Get out of here, dumbass. We'll be right back. I have a challenge for Mike when we come right back.
Oh, goody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, you know, the NFL is about rivalries, and we're happy that we're part of a rivalry now, and I think you have two of the best coaches in the NFL.
I'll drink to that.
Quarterback, and two of the better organizations.
I'll drink to that.
What's good for CBS and our fans, that these rivalries continue to build and exist, and I think you're going to get great ratings.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
The Don and Mike Show. On their back and covered in baby oil. Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I got a challenge for you, Mike. It'll take it less than 10 minutes for this challenge.
Okay.
The first three really fast items from the world of radio.
Okay.
This is why radio is such a nutty, crazy, upside-down business. Everything is wrong in radio. Here in D.C., I'm just reading on InsideRadio.com that there's a station that was classical, and they've changed the format today.
Yeah.
They're calling it George. Get it? Because we were in Washington, D.C.
Ah.
It's like a
and they're ripping off John F. Kennedy Jr.'s magazine also.
they play what they want.
Ah.
Hey, that's a novel concept, huh?
So that thing they had, wasn't that Jack?
Jack FM, right. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's item number one. That's happened here in D.C. They take the classical station on, put another one of these stations on. It's going to play the same box of 20 records, just in a different order.
Right. And they're calling it George. How about that?
Over the weekend, I don't know if you got a chance to read in the Washington Post, they had an excerpt from a book that Mark Fisher wrote about how radio is just totally screwed up.
Right.
It's called The Songs You Want to Hear, and it's about how research has ruined radio.
Mm-hmm. Right, which it has.
I'm not only mentioning that because Well, I'm in the book. He interviewed me a couple of years ago. Cool. But it's really a very good read, and there's a bunch of stuff that if we have a chance tomorrow or the next day, we'll get him on the show. And this thing about how they test music for radio stations.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's a real look inside the ugly, big, purple, bloated belly of radio into everything that's wrong.
Radio.
So the guy's name is Mark Fisher, and he's written a pretty good expose about what's wrong with radio.
Cool.
We'll give him some time on the show sometime this week.
Excellent.
And then we have this from Sacramento. Okay.
A lot of DJs and radio stations that do things very responsibly and appropriately, they may test the edge of the envelope. You think about, you know, radio personalities like Don and Mike and people like that. They're funny. They take it to the edge.
That's
they know
right.
where the line is.
All right, that is Roger Dreyer, who is the attorney for the woman in Sacramento who died with a radio stunt.
Right.
Here's the latest on that. He is in another press conference today. He did not mention our names. Big mistake, Roger.
That's a shame.
He said he wants the FCC to terminate the license of what he's calling the water death radio station.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the commission to go beyond revocation and to discipline the owner of the company, Entercom. He also wants tapes of the station's contested release forms.
Mm-hmm.
They've not given that up yet. They want the whereabouts of the terminated staff
right. And
other information, and the deadline is Wednesday.
Wow.
So
he's getting heavy with them.
Yeah, that's what's new in the world of radio. Tonight on TV, oh, Mike, here's the challenge I have for you.
Hold on. I'm ready for the challenge.
I don't think that I could force this towel down your throat.
Right. Hi, Jack.
Trust me, I can. All the way. Except I hold on to this one little bit at the end. When your stomach starts to digest it, I pull it out, taking your stomach lining with it. Most people can take about a week to die. It's very painful.
He's a mean man, that Jack Bauer.
All right, so 24 is on tonight at his regular time.
My favorite show.
The challenge I have for you, Mike, without your good old friend, and I know you're up to this.
Yeah.
But without your friend, this friend right here, the door.
Yeah.
Ignore that. Without that sound.
Yes.
Is it possible that we could have, right now impromptu, Jack Bauer versus William Devane over tonight's 24?
All right. Let me turn around.
Okay, Rich Little.
Are you insane?
Who are you?
This is William Devane. I'm very excited about the prospects of 24 tonight, but I'm not going to be out on the show.
You're not alone, are
I've
you?
Been written off. No, I'm sitting here with Jack Bauer. Say hello, Jack.
Hi, previously on 24.
This is Jack Bauer. He's a featured character, unlike me, Bill Devane. I've been written off the show. I plunged off a cliff and was underwater last year. Isn't that right, Jack?
We haven't concluded whether you were killed or not.
We don't have much time. Thanks a lot, Jack. I appreciate that, but I just want to make one thing clear. As Secretary Heller, I would be your right-hand man. I would be your ally.
Would you really?
You know,
Yes.
I think on behalf of everyone listening, what I'd like to do right now is maybe have you guys join hands. It could be possible that you could both sing Kumbaya together.
Yes. Here we go.
This is like asking a ventriloquist to drink water.
Kumbaya. Kumbaya.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
Kumbaya, my lord.
Hey, Bauer.
I'm right here.
In essence, Devane's off the show, correct?
We haven't concluded that.
Well, come on. He said he knows.
We haven't concluded that. And there's not much time. Don't you understand what you're doing?
What happened to your back?
Lives are in danger. We have to get this done. I have to speak to Chloe. You're talking to me about Secretary Heller. And if you don't make any more concessions, people are not going to die.
What happened to your back, dude?
My back?
Yeah.
I was beaten by the Chinese.
Hey, Devane.
I don't really want to talk about it. And now I don't want to give up the microphone.
Oh, you don't?
Previously on 24.
Hey, Devane! I'm over here in the back. You see how he's staking the microphone away from me? There. I'm on camera now. Take a look at me. Bill Devane, famous character actor from Hollywood. Written off 24 because they're dumbasses. Isn't that right, Jack? I don't have time to talk to you about this. We have to get out of here right now.
Can we have a fight scene, please?
Sure. Take this, William Devane. Oh, Jack. Jack, you've struck me in the balls. There's not much time. I've got to get back to Chloe. Shut up, little man. Here, pussy boy. See if you can handle this. I'm going to strangle you.
He's got my throat.
Please, make sure you get that special cell phone. The special cell phone is located in the bottom of my pants. It's got everybody's numbers, including Bill Buchanan. If we get through to Bill Buchanan, we'll be able to tell everybody on 24th. There's a mushroom cloud coming out of William Devane's mouth. I believe it's his breath. It's not my breath. I've eaten a secret capsule, Jack. It's a secret capsule. When I broke it with my teeth, it produced a hideous gas that's going to knock you unconscious. We haven't much time, I believe. I believe it. Chloe, I'm losing consciousness. That's right, you're losing consciousness, because I've given you the William Devane death breath. You don't understand. I've got to save Los Angeles. If I don't get back to Bill Buchanan, you're screwed, pretty boy. If I don't get back to Bill Buchanan, people will die. I don't care if people will die, Jack. I want to get back on the show. I urge everyone to tune into Fox tonight and watch me, William Devane, featured on 24.
You're not on the show.
Don.
Yes, Jack.
This is extremely important. I'm losing consciousness.
Yes?
You have to call Bill Buchanan and tell him that I've impregnated Chloe. That's right. You must know the truth before I pass out. Here it is. Cut the music.
Okay.
Here's what happened.
What happened, Jack?
Last year when I was in China being beaten on the back with a switchblade. Not a switch, one of those cat-o'-nine-tails. Chloe flew over to see me. She got into Beijing through a secret compartment on a cruise ship. She came and saw me. I was so grateful to see somebody from CTU. I impregnated Chloe.
Why are you listening to this man? He's full of crap. He's a wussy boy.
I don't care that he's got scars on his back, Don.
You gotta give me more time.
I don't care, Jack. I'm William Devane, nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Hey, Bauer.
I'm over here.
Bauer, we've got 30 seconds left before we have to
break.
That's
not enough time. There's no way that I can get this done in 30 seconds, but I'm going to have to. Hold on, let me get my secret special phone out. Bill Devane, stand in the corner.
I'm over here, Jack, just watching you die.
All right. I'm going to key in these secret numbers, Don. I want you to write them down.
Okay.
After 30 seconds, this is the number to Chloe's gynecologist. if you get through to her, you'll be able to find out the sex of the baby.
Yeah. He's dead. I've killed him. And I'm going to adopt Chloe's baby. It's going to be a little Bill Devane baby, and I'm going to raise the baby in the Hollywood Hills.
It'll be a bush
and there's Jack's lifeless body.
It's going to be a bush baby.
If they kill him, it'll be a bush baby with big bug eyes. Think he's going to come back to life again? We'll just have to wait for another episode, won't we? Oh, he looks to be stirring.
Are you stirring, Jack? Are you stirring, pussy boy?
Jack?
There's not much time. Is there a chance, Don?
Yeah, Jack.
Before I lose consciousness again.
Yeah.
Could you get me a pack of Marlboro Reds, please?
You got it.
That's what I smoke. And we'll all get drunk.
How about a Christmas tree that you can take a leak on and then tackle?
I'll jump into the Christmas tree after I urinate. Thanks so much. And Secretary Heller?
Yes, Jack.
Screw you.
Screw you, pretty boy. Good luck in hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friend.
Thank you.
Michael.
Thank you.
Sean Patrick O'Mara.
Didn't know that was coming.
No
door. I like it that way.
No door.
I like that.
Please note.
Without a door.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
There was not a door to be found.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
No in.
All of you out of here.
No out.
All of you.
So Mike did those horses.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Get out.
Okay.
Excuse me.
We'll get back to buzzes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me just check something. Can't really feel. Hey, Hillary. Are you in?
I'm in. I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
Did you buy that for her?
I just couldn't feel if she was in or not.
That's a pretty pretty big one.
Are you in? I can't feel. Let me stand up for a second.
I'm in.
Oh.
I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
She's in my butt.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow. She's in my butt.
I didn't know you were into that.
Indeed. Speaking of indeed,
yeah.
Yesterday, during the Colts game,
right. Did we tape him?
The very first word that Jim Nantz said when he was being a hyperactive poodle when the game began.
Right.
I believe his first word was indeed.
Wow.
We're close to it. Here we are. Close to the upfront.
Yes, indeed. The rivalry continues, but this time on Peyton's turf. As expected, a raucous RCA dome for the AFC Championship.
Tony Dungy, you are black.
Tony Dungy,
you are black.
All right, and JB, we got that too.
Yeah,
good.
The all of the how many five folks and one indeed.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Brown, and welcome to our special AFC Championship Game edition of the NFL Today Big One. All right, folks, and now for our... All right, Jim and Phil, you're both looking very handsome and geared up for this game indeed. We'll look forward to your call and looking forward to it. All right, folks. Good people. All right, folks. Thank you very much, Charlie. All right, folks, up next. Coming up, folks, we're going to get you caught up on that Bears victory.
There you go. Oh, there it is. 5-1.
And it was only 30 minutes.
Five folks, one indeed.
Oh, good for him.
And even Nance had an indeed.
Yes, indeed. The rivalry continues, but...
Yes, indeed.
I like Jim Nance's postgame. I thought he did a really good job.
I am aroused.
He was intense.
And maybe when we were talking about all that earlier in the show, I also thought that Terry Bradshaw did a pretty good job of not saying anything when they gave Hallis's daughter the trophy.
Yep.
You know, Virginia McCaskey, that old broad,
right,
is George Hallis's daughter.
Right, and she's the principal owner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, right. So when they gave it to her, it was really like giving it to George Hallis. And
Papa Bear.
I thought it was very nice that Terry Bradshaw didn't say anything.
That was, it's going to be a great Super Bowl. It would be a miracle. I think everybody, the football experts, will say it would be a true miracle if the Bears win the Super Bowl. But I just hope it's a good game, like everybody.
What's the line right now, Buzz?
I favor the Bears.
Come in the Las Vegas line.
I have no idea.
I think it's Colts by 7.
I don't gamble. Is it only 7?
Only 7.
Okay.
It's time for Frank's News.
Mm-hmm.
Frank is brought to us tonight by, hey, Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce.
Coincidence?
Oh, good.
Frank's Red Hot Sauce wants to make you the MVP halftime of the big game.
Try my sauce.
Or, as it's written, the halftime MVP of the big game. Just use Frank's Red Hot Buffalo Wing Sauce to create restaurant quality wings.
I always love the news with Francis Albert.
Hello, F.
Hi, Don and Mike. No, I don't gamble in Vegas or on Wall Street, and investing in the stock market is a form of gambling.
Damn right. Gamble and having sex.
You're betting a particular always a winner. You're betting a particular business will do well when you invest, so it's no surprise that the latest big gambling bust has taken place on Wall Street. The Justice Department has handed out subpoenas to four Wall Street investment banks that backed the startup of some of the most popular gambling sites on the Internet. HSBC, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, and Dresdner Kleinwort are the banks.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm the CEO of Dresdner Kleinwort.
How did you get some more people to come to our site?
I think what we'll do is cheat.
How about some pastries?
Ah, strudel! The Frenchman makes such good strudel!
Frank, why do you call him Frank? His name is Buzz.
I'm sorry, Major Hochstetter. I'll make sure to call him Buzz.
Those banks that I mentioned underwrote the gaming sites like Party Gaming and 888 Holdings. You can bet on the reason the subpoenas have gone out 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. Millions of Americans gamble online year-round, more this time of year. Our government can't go after these foreign-based gambling sites, but they can go after banks in the U.S. that finance them, and that's what they're doing.
So are they trying to eradicate that completely, online gambling?
Yeah, as much as possible.
You know what they're doing is they're, I've seen like PokerStars.net or whatever, the ones that they run on TV not a gambling site.
Right.
So what it is it's a way where you go and you play online against people, and I guess their thought, and it probably works, is that if you go online and you beat a bunch of people with play pretend money, that it's a gateway site.
Well, I have a poker site that I go to all the time, and that is all I do. I actually play poker. I have a buddy of mine that got into online gambling, and I'm absolutely terrified of it because it is nothing like.
Isn't that how it works? That you go like to PokerStars.
You do. They start you. You want to do play money or real money, press a button and then they'll sign you up. But it's very difficult. At one point, I was going to try it, and I went through the process, and I got my credit card company would not allow me to put a deposit in there. So I just said, forget it. But it is definitely the gateway. They get you by letting you play with fake money.
The ones that they advertise on TV are just for fakes, right? Would they have a link then on there that goes to the ones if you want the real stuff?
The one that I'm on, I wish I remember the name of it, you play with as many people as you want. It's not you can't play in a regular game, but you play with other people that are playing real money. And the way they kind of get you is you realize early on as you're playing this poker with people that are playing with play money, they're not playing like they would normally play. You know, they go all in with nothing.
Gotcha.
And you get kind of tired of that, and they make reference to that.
So you want the thrill of the
You want the real deal because you can really be playing against people. But I couldn't do it with my credit card, and I didn't want to really pursue it because they were saying, I even got a phone call. I got a phone call from the website where the guy was like, listen, we understand you were trying to do this. We can make it easy. And it just, that's when I got real hinky about the whole thing.
BetOnSports.com, 50% of their business.
They used to be a big sponsor of the show.
Came from the United States. That's where half their business came from. And they've now lost half their business because last fall the U.S. banned the use of credit cards for online gambling. Yes, they are outlawing.
We as a nation will find a way around that, though.
Probably.
It's gambling.
Yeah.
Come on. What bad can it be?
What could go wrong? Everything else is in our house because of the Internet. Why not gambling?
Sure.
What the hell? I mean, the Internet is so goddamn unregulated. How come when it comes to the stuff that we really like, porno and gambling,
right?
That's where they want to regulate.
Why don't they just get the kiddie porn off there? I mean, seriously.
Right.
Deal with that and let us gamble.
Focus on
Come on.
Now, as we established last week,
how about a kiddie porn gambling site?
Oh, that'd be very wrong.
Now I'm logging on.
No. Now you got them knocking on your door.
I've got two pair.
As we established last week, January both sucks and blows, and today specifically is the most miserable day of the year.
Well,
I totally agree with that.
A British psychologist, using a formula he's developed, has calculated January 22nd, a Monday, naturally, as the unhappiest day on the calendar, Blue Monday. The formula includes data on the weather, the amount of time that's passed since Christmas, the debts we're now facing, and the resolutions that aren't sticking, plus a general lack of motivation. The good news about all this depression, says Dr. Cliff Arnall at Cardiff University, is that we will get better. The survey showed that 85% of us believe that, which means 15% of us aren't so sure.
How many people, though, would not be as depressed right now, and I mean throughout the country, because the weather's been so screwy,
right,
just by the fact that, at least here in the D.C. area and throughout the East Coast, yesterday was really the first snow that we've had. And,
right. Yep.
And think even last week when the temperature was,
70, yeah.
But then when it went down to 35,
right,
we were reacting like it was 20 below zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody had that. I'm just wondering if the weather had anything to do with the weather, because the weather's been so good, maybe that's made people's moods better.
The weather today, I was driving along, well-rested, had a good night's sleep. I'm driving along here today.
Ditka can affect the weather by his mood.
With his mood. And I just was sitting there, and I felt like my eyes were hanging out of my head.
Yeah.
It was just that blah day. And for this to be the unhappiest day of the year, it is so perfect, the weather right
bush
now.
Bush baby eyes.
Bush baby. My bush baby eyes.
Bush baby eyes.
And I even got my fish tank clean this weekend, so I should be in a great mood.
Hey, let's not talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to keep your private sexual things private and sexual.
I like that. Oh, man, I've told you time and time again, you want some real fun, get your fish tank clean.
Do you clean it yourself, or did your girlfriend clean it?
I ended up doing it with myself and Carla's mom's boyfriend, and
quit you homo.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, of course, I'm not talking about like really cleaning out a fish tank. I'm talking about you know where the fish tank is.
We did play a wonderful joke on Carla's mom. That was my one gag of the weekend. You know, I like the gags, Don. I really do like the gags. And
You're a joker.
And this water was Gatorade colored. That's how bad it was.
Hey.
It was so algae-fied. It was Gatorade. It was absolutely green. And she had seen this, and then she went out shopping and came back. And I had actually gotten a Tupperware container that didn't look like any kind of vessel where you would drink anything from. And I'd poured green tea in it. And I left it sitting out on the counter just specifically for her to walk in.
Wow.
And then I said, listen, and we were eating in the TV room watching the game.
Yeah.
And we had fast food around the table. And I said, Carla, could you please get that off the table? And did you test that? And Carla says, like, doesn't miss a beat and goes, oh, yeah, it's still bad. Like, let me smell it. And I was like, whoa, that is horrible. What does it taste like? And I drank that, like, half the thing. And the reaction, I got the perfect reaction. It was delightful. I love a good gag.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. See, I'm always entertaining, even when I'm not here.
Always.
Even on the most depressing day of the year.
Sure.
And that pessimist, did Carla's mom stand up and say, God damn, would you please marry my daughter today?
No, actually, she got upset and slapped me and left shortly thereafter. It was very embarrassing.
Well, that pessimistic 15% I mentioned, they need to meet Matthew Ricard, the happiest man in the world. Matt's a 60-year-old French academic turned Buddhist monk.
Screw him, Buzz.
He's gotten happier over the years, according to the brain scans.
F him.
Those scans also show that he's happier than the rest of us. He got to that point by being the French interpreter for the Dalai Lama.
Screw off, Frogman.
He also got there by training himself to be happy, which, according to him, is the secret to happiness.
Hello, bonsoir.
Bonjour.
Decide to be happy and work toward that by developing the right side of your brain. For details, see the internet.
No,
well, what's the website?
Any website. Just do a search for Right Brain.
I love me the llama. Google, I'm a big llama fan.
Google search the Right Brain, learn how to develop it, and if you make up your mind to be happy and you learn those things, according to this guy, you will be.
Okay. Join me on the left side.
No, she won't.
Oh, God. God, I feel something in my butt.
What is that? Oh, my God.
Hillary, are you in there?
I'm in. I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
I would just stay in my butt, please.
Look at her.
Keep coming out. Stay in.
She's cute.
No, she won't need him. No, she won't feed him now that he's 64. The Paul McCartney-Heather Mills divorce is final. A British paper reports the former Beatle will pay the 38-year-old amputee $63.2 million.
Funny copy.
Including houses. Thank you.
I mean, you just wrote it. You wrote it that certain little way.
Yeah,
for the 64-year-old will pay the 34-year-old amputee.
Hoping you would giggle. Paul and Heather separated last May. It turned very ugly very quickly, and they got very quiet. They have a 3-year-old daughter named Beatrice. Steve Irwin's family will get its wish that he never be forgotten with the new Steve Irwin talking action figure.
Crikey! We've talked about this before. Hey, Bindi, with all this stuff with your dad, what did you end up getting out of it?
For the first time ever, I got the head.
Congratulations. Play soccer with it?
They grow up so fast.
Make it into a pinata?
She's flying across the country with it.
I got daddy's head.
The late Crocodile Hunter's actual voice will say, crikey, holy guacamole, and other wonderful things.
Holy guacamole, I'm dead.
The doll to hit the shelves next month will be dressed in Irwin's signature khaki shorts and hiking boots. Stingrays sold separately.
That is just in poor taste. I'm not kidding about it. We've discussed that.
It is. You're right.
I know. I can still laugh when you say that.
Right.
There is a tape, really, of Steve Irwin, which was taken, I guess.
How long before he died?
This is a year ago, I think.
About a year ago.
I absolutely live for my work. I'm very passionate, very enthusiastic. My whole life revolves around conservation. That is my work. That is my life. And I'll die doing that.
That's a little
right.
Prophetic.
The Steve Irwin dolls have already been on sale for over a year at the Irwin Zoo.
Are they anatomically correct?
I haven't pulled down the khaki shorts.
Absolutely, mate. And I was huge.
They've been available for a year at the Irwin Zoo in Australia.
You'll have a great time taking me out of my khakis.
And there'll also be a line soon of stuffed animals, plush toys, called Bindi's Friends.
Plush toys. Hey, Bindi, what did you get?
For the first time ever, I got the head.
Oh, on a stick. Look at that.
Fight again, Bindi.
Okay, once again, who's buried in James Brown's grave?
Nobody.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Again, it's a trick question. This time, there is no answer.
Oh.
The good news is they've finally taken it out of his house where the body was kept refrigerated ever since shortly after he died on Christmas Day. The bad news...
Did you say James Brown's body was kept unrefrigerated?
No, refrigerated.
Oh. Yeah.
Otherwise, that
would have been an oogie mess.
And the bad news is there's still been no...
Could have been like Jennifer Tilly's vagine.
Oh, that's terrible.
On that hot day of celebrity poker.
7 to 8 hours of nonstop World Series of Poker action and Jennifer Tilly's vagine.
Sweating, itching.
There's horrible. Still been no decision made.
Holding, bluffing.
Probably sitting on a vinyl chair.
Yeah.
Holding.
Let's go to Tilly. Check! Tilly, check!
Jennifer's Tilly.
There's still been no decision made about the location of James Brown's final resting place.
Boogie.
His kids want to put him in a mausoleum and turn his house into a museum that would include his grave. The Brown family's been getting advice on this from Elvis Presley's Graceland, which attracts over 500,000 tourists a year.
What about his wife that sounds like Elizabeth Ashley?
Oh, you mean Heine Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey,
she wants to make a house.
Come on, kids, we're going to Brownland.
I say, this is the house where James Brown once lived.
And speaking of dead guys, KFC has asked the Postmaster General to put a picture of Kentucky Fried Chicken founder Colonel Harlan Sanders on a U.S. postage stamp. Former Baywatch babe Pam Anderson, not a big fan of the Colonel's secret recipe for cruelty, is now asking the Postmaster General not to honor Sanders.
What, she doesn't like chicken?
No, she doesn't. She feels that KFC mistreats its chickens before killing them and cooking them.
Right, so that makes them taste better.
How can you possibly mistreat them any worse than when you kill them?
I come to my house some weekend.
Apparently,
you still doing the cockfighting?
Well, and I do my those squash videos. What do they call those?
My crush videos.
Where I put on my girlfriend's stilettos.
Pam's fired off an angry letter, tempered with some humor. Quoting Pam's letter, "How about another Elvis stamp instead?" That's a tough call for the postmaster, the colonel's breasts, or Pam's.
Oh! That stamp looking good.
And then there are the breasts of Drew Barrymore.
Ew.
Which
yeah, well.
Famously delighted David Letterman.
Where were we talking about her earlier today?
Oh, yes.
About that Hugh Grant movie she's in where she just looks so freaking dirty. And I don't mean dirty in a good way.
I don't know if you saw it, but in yesterday's Parade magazine, Drew said she likes to run around naked outdoors to, quote, feel at one with nature.
Yeah, that's she's nature girl.
Parade.
All the way. No need to shave those legs. No need to treat that vagina.
Parade, a magazine clean enough for the whole damn family.
What that is, that's a rug, Mike. That's a rug that goes from her belly button to her little toe.
Fashion, do's and don'ts when we return.
Thank you, Buzz. Here's what it sounds like.
Hey, Drew, put some pants on.
Hey, where's your vagina? Nice. Hey, nice.
Thank you, Boris.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, we're back.
It's the BME Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
And once again, here's the reason we were late. Francis Elfson.
Hi, Don and Mike. And now it's time for fashion do's and don'ts.
Buzz, you shouldn't take it.
You know, Buzz, you actually looked at us like you believed us.
I just wasn't sure where
he was poking
from.
He was poking fun.
Mike and I are just sitting there chewing the fat, and I heard from the other room,
we're late! We are late!
I think it sounded more like, we're late.
Ah. Hi, John.
Thank you, John.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, once again, here's Francis.
Yes, with the fashion do's and don'ts. Now, don't get on an airliner wearing a shirt that says George Bush is the number one terrorist. There's no law against it. It makes airline crews jumpy. Even Qantas out of Australia, they kicked him off the plane before it took off for London.
Really? For just a T-shirt?
Yeah, even though the shirt was being worn by a pasty 55-year-old white guy.
How about free speech, dude?
Yeah, exactly.
Surprised at that.
He's going to sue Qantas just over that very reason.
I think he's got a case.
Free speech. Now, fashion do's, apparently, include men wearing leggings. They're like ballet tights, but in a heavier fabric.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Like a wool blend with stirrup straps. Yes, it's...
You go naked in bed when I see you Sunday.
Yes, it's men in tights.
Leg warmers.
Yes. Leggings.
Indeed, leggings. The rivalry continues, but...
They're tights, really.
Tony Dungy!
Now, not surprisingly, fashion critics are applauding the men's leggings introduced at the runway show this morning in Milan.
And they're applauding like this, Buzz.
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, exactly like that.
Can I tell you something over the weekend?
Please.
I did watch on pay-per-view The Devil Wears Prada.
Uh-huh. Oh, good movie.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. Seriously?
Please.
If not for Meryl Streep, that would have been nothing more than just another dumb young chick flick with the guy from Entourage.
Yeah, you know what? You would have just run me out of the room, and I'm glad you liked it. She's incredible in it, isn't
she? She's spectacular, Mike.
Spectacular. I think
she should wear her hair that color always. and the scene when she looks down, and you get to see her without her makeup on her husband's sleeve. Oh, but what a bitch on wheels she is.
Perfect. Yes, and then moving. Now, is if the...
No, in real life.
Oh, in real life, I don't know.
Have you
didn't.
Heard?
I forgot you
She's
knew.
A backstabbing bitch. Everyone hates her. She's so mean.
Bitch on wheels.
Now,
please, come on.
As if the Dakota Fanning rape scene wasn't enough, Sundance Film Fest goers over the weekend saw a movie about bestiality.
Hello.
Men having sex with animals.
Yes, Dakota Fanning in that one?
No, sadly no. For you.
Yes, indeed.
Critics say the documentary is both elegant and poetic. Sure, why not? There's nothing graphic in the movie. The director says, quote, I antisepticized the sleaze right out of it. But also, quoting the director, it happens, so it's part of who we are. The movie was inspired by the discovery of an internet-based community of zoophiles, hence the movie's title, Zoo.
And when I was watching The Devil Wears Prada, and I think she does deserve the Academy Award for that. I mean,
really?
If she can make
she's amazing in it.
Make me sit through a two-hour-plus chick flick, and she's the only redeeming factor in that whole goddamn... Although Stanley Tucci was excellent.
And the girl's not easy on the eye. I mean, she's attractive, the lady that's in that. And when they get her all painted up, she's
But they do stuff. They treat the audience like they're such idiots. Like, okay. Does everybody remember what she looked like at the beginning of the movie?
Right.
In case you didn't, here's a flashback. She's fixed up now. Yesterday on CBS Sunday Morning, that Charles Osgood show.
Yeah, right.
What are you applauding for?
CBS.
Shut up.
Love it.
They did a feature on a woman who appeared to be, at least from my dumb viewpoint, the woman that maybe that Devil Wears Prada was based on. it's Elizabeth somebody from New York, and she was...
Fashion editor.
An older, like, 60-year-old broad.
Who had the gray hair.
Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, I'd just seen the movie on Saturday right. night, and just saw this thing on Sunday, and thought, is she the one that the movie was based on?
I don't know. I never read enough about it to know that, and I don't know whether it was a, you know, basically amalgam of characters from all over New York City or not, but I bet, man... It was great. I mean, that was...
Amalgam means composite, right?
Combination, collection.
Thank you. Sure. Many different ladies put into one big jello mold.
Amen, brother.
We talked recently about how high def strikes terror into the hearts of local TV news anchors. Turns out that's another thing they have in common with porn stars.
How you doing, Wendy Rigger?
Cellulite, wrinkles, stretch marks, and
pockmarks. Pockmarks, pockmarks.
Not so sexy in high def porn. Razor bumps are a big problem in the transition to HD, according to porn actress Stormy Daniels. Jessie Jane says she's getting her breast implants redone for high def.
Hello.
One director, June, he just uses one name, June, of Pirates fame.
June Ray.
Says he uses digital post-production techniques to erase the unpleasant aspects of human skin. Still, Digital Playground says it plans to come out with 4 high-def DVDs a month, starting next month.
He couldn't be more excited.
Somebody is really
tripping over myself here.
Hillary, get back in.
I'm in. I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
Stay in my butt.
Back to winner. Despite the folklore,
you know what she is? She's like a groundhog.
Really? So she's going to come out in February?
And I like Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. Every time Hillary comes out, I hear Sonny and Cher.
It's Groundhog Day.
I'm in. I'm in to win, and that's what I intend to do.
You know what my butt is like? My butt is like Pop-a-Mole.
Whack-a-mole.
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 Thank you. And it's Hillary Clinton coming out.
Now, if we find all the other presidential candidates with other people living in their butts, then we can have a real legitimate whack-a-mole game.
Despite the folklore, women are safer drivers than men, according to a new study.
Oh, ridiculous.
That's right.
Now you're lying.
This researcher at Carnegie Mellon University says he stuffs a mitt in his mouth when his wife drives, but he has his wife drive. Among his findings, that cautious 82-year-old women have far more accidents than reckless 16-year-old boys. And reckless 16-year-old boys are 4 times more likely to die than the rest of us. That Americans have to drive a collective 100,000 miles before somebody buys the farm.
So you said the findings were that cautious old women have more accidents than reckless 16-year-old boys?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, boy.
My wife's pretty old.
Not good news.
Well, I might have to call Mumsy.
Yeah. You heard about your mom?
Yeah, 86, still
you're
driving.
Crazy. You're crazy mom?
Still, my crazy mom's still driving.
Study says the safest passenger at any time is a
kooky crazy mom.
Yeah, mom driving her funny car.
Yeah, she's terrific, though. She's only had a couple of wrecks.
She's out driving with James Hilton, isn't she, that NASCAR guy?
She's doing that right now. No, she does the, as Don said, the funny car circuit.
Oh. Yeah.
The safest passenger, according to this study, is a 4-year-old who is properly strapped into a car seat during morning rush hour. Rush hours have fewer accidents because heavy traffic means slow traffic. Vans have fewer accidents than other vehicles, partly, says the researcher, because their drivers are dull.
Did you say rush hour?
Yes.
How many days till rush hour 3, Rob?
29 days.
Then we'll go see your auntie, okay?
This is your captain dying. A Continental pilot on a flight from Houston to Puerto Vallarta died of a heart attack in the cockpit during the flight.
Oh, my God.
The co-pilot then diverted the plane to McAllen, Texas, as passengers, including doctors, helped the crew try to save him.
Because it's true.
In Minneapolis over the weekend, a guy fell...
Can't be that hungry. They're showing off.
It's the pilot.
You're damn right.
Or that's the pilot.
Who's the best?
They're both. That's the co-pilot.
I'm liable to lose you.
That's the co-pilot.
Big mouth don't make a big man.
That's the pilot.
Fire me.
Who's the co-pilot?
I apologize for my language.
Pilot.
I'm scared stiff.
Co-pilot.
How's it taste?
Pilot.
That's after, right after mouth to mouth.
Ready for a wild card?
Yes.
Did you wash your ass today?
Flight attendant.
Stewardess.
In Minneapolis over the weekend, a guy fell 16 stories and lived. It probably helped.
Incredible!
He was really, really drunk when he crashed through the double pane glass and the safety bar across the window of his room. He landed on an awning just above the Hyatt Regency's entrance.
Jesus. 16 floors?
Yes.
And he lived.
Got a broken leg, otherwise okay.
God.
The makers of Viagra are being sued by a major AIDS treatment group. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation says it's suing Pfizer over the advertising for Viagra.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
There it is, how it starts. The group says the ads promote Viagra as a recreational drug. It's prescribed, supposedly, only to men who need it.
Well, now, haven't you used it as a recreational drug?
I have.
There you go.
All right, way to go, Buzz.
But one reason...
Way to mold minds again.
One reason... I don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, maybe. One recent ad featured a younger man than we're used to seeing, asking, what are you doing New Year's Eve? An online ad for Viagra says, want to improve your sex life? Quoting one critic, Bob Dole has been replaced by the hunky 40-something guy who looks like he really can have a good time.
Yeah, it's that one where they throw the football through the tire.
Through the tire, right.
That's real symbolism that's tough to get.
Apparently, it's not a suppository. That's what I've found.
Well, then you're out of luck.
I am. Because, you know, that's how I take all my medicine.
It could be. Suppository, it's Spiewak.
Suppository Robbie.
Stop by my news store, the Suppository Hut.
In sports, Miami police say the substance found in Mike Vick's water bottle is not marijuana, so no charges will be filed.
Oh.
Bingo. Good to be quarterback, isn't it? Bill Parsons.
Does that mean you don't believe it, Buzz?
There was a secret compartment in the bottle, was there not? Was there not something suspicious smelling in the bottle, we were told?
Yeah, but I would think at this point, with all the pub that got,
mm-hmm.
if there was some real residue, yeah,
right.
they would. He can't get away with that. No. I mean, for God's sake, he's Ron Mexico.
Okay.
With all the publicity.
All right.
You know who knows a lot about that, though?
Who?
And herpes?
Yes, indeed. The rivalry continues.
Jim Nance.
So that's it. It's gone.
Over. You think the bottle was clean, then? You think there was no marijuana in the bottle?
No, I think it was clean. It was decent.
No, but I think... Uh-huh. No, I don't know what I think.
What?
I said I don't know what I think.
I know what was in it.
What?
Catnip.
Bill
Parcells. We cool.
Bill Parcells retired from coaching today, leaving...
You know what was in that bottle?
What?
Escapability and legs of Superman run from one end of the field to another. It's Magic Vic juice.
What about me and you?
Are we cool?
There is no me and you.
Oh, I keep forgetting what part of the movie you're at.
It's where he's standing over the guy after he shot him.
What about when he has to call...
Mr. Soon, to be living the rest of his life in excruciating pain, rapist over here.
Negro, that's all you have to say. When he's sitting out, sitting out by the pool.
It's where Marcellus repeats everything he just said. I'm on them. The MF-er. Remember that? That's right before he sends over Mr. Wolf.
Do I? What a great movie. Which is
I'm watching it compulsively lately. I'm watching it every time it's on.
Which is better, The Devil Wears Prada or Pulp Fiction?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. Bill Parcells retired from coaching today, leaving the Dallas Cowboys after four seasons and ending a career that included three Super Bowl appearances and two championships.
No offense to any chinks.
This comes 2 weeks. After the Cowboys' season ended with a playoff loss in Seattle, it's a bit of a surprise. And there were indications...
That's going to be the legacy of Bill Parcells. The last play will be that screw-up by Tony Romo.
He'll have to live with that boner all his life.
There were indications...
They'll never take it away from him, Mike.
They won't.
The 65-year-old...
Tony Dungy, you are black!
You got to finish the games. I know. We just didn't do it.
It was thought the 65-year-old coach was returning for a fifth year in Dallas and his 20th year as an NFL head coach.
You know, they're rightly screwed. Who are you going to get to be the new coach of the Cowboys? Are there any good coaches left?
I think what you've got right now between what the Giants are doing and what Dallas is doing, it's not looking all that bad for the Redskins, as much as I hate to say it. They really, I mean, the NFC East, don't you agree, is getting so mediocre right now.
Yeah, but... The Redskins suck so bad.
Yeah, and you got Philadelphia again.
They're pretty good. I still think the Giants are better than the Redskins.
Commandant Coughlin.
I'll take Commandant.
I think they're screwed.
I will take Commandant Coughlin over feeble Coach Joe. And will they stop calling him Coach Joe like he's our kindly old uncle?
Probably not.
Coach Joe.
Let's soften the name up a little bit. It used to be Coach Gibbs, now it's Coach Joe.
Coach Joe.
If he doesn't win soon, it's going to be Slow Joe.
Joe wants to say something. No, he doesn't. Buzz wants to say something.
Hi.
How are you, Buzz?
I'm well.
Bless your
Maybe
heart.
Maybe I'm not. Finally, even in 2007, crooks are still stupid.
Joe.
We take you to Long Island, New York, where a couple of guys from Lindenhurst stole over a dozen GPS navigation devices from the Public Works Department in Babylon, New York, the adjacent suburb. They plan to sell the satellite tracking devices, maybe make a few grand on them. They should not have, however, have turned on the devices because that's what led police straight to them.
Thank you!
Sure. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
Buzz, two more Andrew Gold.
Oh, dear, the CD's going to hang on.
We played that before.
Yeah.
It's an Andy Gibb.
I love that. That's great. We'll go see the Devil Wears Prada.
He's wearing tight.
Anything else? What else on this disc?
Legging.
The animals?
What's this?
I said, CC Rider.
Oh, all right.
Okay, we got to fly. Old CC. We'll see you tomorrow in the new episode, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Frank.
Good day to you, sir.
And, you know, I got a good look at Michael Vick's water bottle.
Yeah.
It was different.
It was catnip.
This is the Don and Mike Show.